Fred Bell, Health, Science, and Energy Show. Tonight, we have Dr. Deagle, a good friend of mine. And it's going to be an interesting show because I know everybody out there knows how insane I am. Well, I've got somebody that's probably even worse than me. And the funny thing about it is that back in my old government days, in the 60s and 70s, I worked on a lot of projects. Dr. Deagle came as a later engineer and scientist and medical doctor and physicist, and actually worked on a continuation of some of the same projects that I worked on. So we can now get updated. Dr. Deagle is a medical doctor. He does things on the side, like work for the FBI terror unit. And he's residing currently up in Canada. And I think you're going to have some fun with us tonight. Welcome, Dr. Bill Deagle. How are you doing, Bill?
Wonderful. I hope the information we give tonight brings people to a state of intellectual and spiritual enlightenment so they can, as I always say on my radio show, the Neutral Medical Report, they can check it out and then take action, because right now we have a lot of confusion going on and so many events happening to converge that are going to change the face of history.
Now, tell them a little bit about your, what we were talking about earlier today, about your ER work, so they understand that when it comes to, we talk about the human body and the trauma and all that. Tell them a little bit about that we were discussing earlier. Give them a little idea for that from your ER days.
Right. Well, when I was trained in medical school, one of my most interesting experiences, and there's many, was one of, most people are may not be aware of this, even if they're into natural health or other areas of healing, like therapeutic touch, they may not be aware that at least 10% of doctors are very intuitive. But it's something that we don't openly say among our colleagues because we're often persecuted. And one of my colleagues actually trained me when I was in medical school over 30 years ago, told me that, don't be surprised when you see the doppelganger. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, when somebody's dying, you'll often see them kind of sit beside you or even stand up or look at you. And if you see them and they follow you in the ambulance, then that person's probably going to live. And if they don't, they're probably going to die. He said, and he already knew intuitively that I was also intuitive. And that's the way it is. It's like you're a different creature. And at least 10% of all health professionals are like this. And especially nurses who work around intensive care units or emergency department or done resuscitation near death. And it gives us a much different viewpoint of what the universe is. And again, I've had many other experiences, but that's just one example. And what people perceive, or even the regular scientists perceive, that the universe is in terms of how it functions, fits more in terms of advanced multiverse nuclear physics theory than it does the so-called conventional view of reality. And that has an effect on everything from geopolitics to medicine to energy physics and biophotonics and the power of intention and consciousness over reality and all these things that are used and have been weaponized to create very nasty ways of enslaving not only mankind, but also all the living things on Earth and destroy our environment. And that's why I have a show and I'm speaking out against these things, because I've seen a lot of very bad things. And again, if we have the intention for good, then we can change that around.
Yeah, I get you on this network. We'll give out the information for Dr. Deagle. He has a live above the ground radio. What's your on Tuesday night or Tuesdays?
I'm on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays at 2 to 3 Central Time on GCN Live. That's Genesis Communication Network, GCNLive.com. And I'm also broadcast on WWCR shortwave out of Tennessee, 100 kilowatts, at 9.975. And those archive programs are sub-archived by topic on my website, which is NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. And I have many nutraceutical approaches for detoxification, cancer support, reversing heart disease, regenerating tissues. There's a lot of things that actually are done underground or in other countries that can cure many of the illnesses that our, quote, medical profession says can't be cured.
Exactly.
And they're purposely suppressed. And doctors who actually challenge the status quo are often persecuted, even if we can prove with solid science that we have a treatment or a cure or something that will arrest or slow the progress of an illness.
Yeah, speaking of that, when we were talking about, because I've worked with a lot of school systems, Oregon, Los Angeles County, San Luis Obispo County, I used to work with kids on Ritalin, and of course it was against the law for us to suggest any kind of diet reform to the parents for the children, so they wouldn't, you know, be putting, you know, sugar, which turns into basically speed and alcohol, ethanol, in their bodies. Explain
right.
to them about the drug approach, the drug companies approaching doctors and the removal of the licenses of the medical profession if they don't conform. What's going on out there? I think people would love to hear that.
Well, and people always remember stories, and I like stories as well. 3 years ago, I had a drug rep in Denver where I had my practice come into my office and say, you know, Dr. Deagle, I have a report to give you. I said, what do you mean? She threw a report down on my desk. She said, you're not prescribing our drug or our competitors. And I said, my gosh. I said, how did you know that? And of course, I'm a bit of a sarcastic sort. And she said, well, I have this report. And I said, how did you obtain that from my prescriptions? Because, you know, you don't have my DEA number or some other identifying license number on the script. She said, well, we buy the data from the pharmacies. I said, that sounds pretty 1984-ish that you'd have that data. And she said, well, my boss was thinking of reporting you to the State Board of Medical Examiners because you're not prescribing our lipid-lowering agent or our competitors. I said, you know, you need to really leave the office pretty quickly. And she said, well, I've been really nice at giving, you know, these fancy pens, you know, the toy pens, and filling the shelves with all these drugs. I said, you know, I said, is this my practice or your practice or the Board of Medical Examiners? I said, because I have a personal responsibility as a human being to my fellow human beings to do the best thing. And if in my advancement in medicine I found a natural way or a diet or something else that can do it without the toxic effect of your drugs or your competitors, who do you think you are to tell me how to prescribe and to practice medicine? Now their insurance, in the last year and a half since I closed my practice, is now starting to set up a system where if the doctor doesn't identify the patients to the insurance carrier, they're not compliant. Say they refuse to take a vaccine for such and such a reason, let's say a religious reason. The insurance carrier can then de-insure the person, and they're going to take the doctor and report that data. If the doctor doesn't report it to the State Board of Medical Examiners and de-license them if they are not monitoring, acting as a doc cop. And we see that now in the area of pain medicine, where there's been a war on drugs, and every time the U.S. government, and of course they father this in other countries like Canada and Britain and elsewhere, but they started off in the U.S., they have a war against, say, drugs. What they do is they take a medical condition, which is addiction, and they turn it into a criminal activity, so they fill the prisons. And they've now persecuted doctors across the country so that doctors won't give narcotics to people dying of cancer or very serious non-cancer conditions like polyneuropathy and other horrible pain nerve conditions that are maybe post-traumatic. And this is an example of the Nazification of medicine. That's a very, very bad thing, and especially the development of new treatments that, the medical junta doesn't want to have for available right now that actually can treat or cure many illnesses that are much less toxic than the current toxic approaches, such as bypass operations and so on. So I don't know how far you want to go into that.
Well, we're going to go step by step. I'm just sort of leading you into a basic ambush about what we're really going to talk about. But
right.
We got to go a step at a time so everybody can kind of fill their beakers with, the foundational substance.
Yeah. In other words, I'm a whistleblower. I've been a doctor on the inside. I've done research in rheumatology. I've done trained in the only kind of surgery I haven't done or participated in is open heart and brain surgery. I've done trauma work, and we work in the middle of nowhere. The nearest doctor is 300 miles away. I've worked in big hospitals, ICUs, military medicine, classified research. I took care of U.S. Space Command, Strategic Defense Command, the Echelon Project, Global World ID Project Underground. Worked with the FBI and CDC in Operation Top Off and Dark Winter as appointment under Reserve Admiral John Hughes. I know some really bad stuff.
Yeah, I know, and then we're going to bring that out week by week. You know, that's why I want to get you over here to do your own show.
I did the exit exam on the forensic munitions team that came from Fort Carson, five forensic military experts that went to the Khobar Towers in Riyadh, and they also went, when I was working in 94-95, to the Oklahoma City Murrah building. My boss was supposed to do the examination, Major George Schwinder, and he was off in Fort Hood getting extra airtime in a jet in the back seat to make sure he kept up his airtime. He was a major in the Air Force.
Yeah, I know that too well, that whole back seat trip. Yeah,
right, and what happened is that I did the X-exam, and one of the five experts had a nervous breakdown in my office and told me for 2 hours and a half in very great detail, which I cross-examined him because I'm a I'm a biochemist and chemist, so I could tell exactly what was going on. And then he described in great detail the Khobar Towers blast, which is seven times the amount of Anvil than the Oklahoma City, and that it was micronukes and C4 and ferrite bombs that were used, and they removed two micronukes and a C4 pineapple from the Murrah building debris, and it was radioactive, and they told him if they took any radioactive debris off the site, because they were weighing all their things, including their bags, down to, you know, tenth of a gram or something.
Right.
That if they removed any debris, they would be tracked and killed. And these are military experts. So I released that information last year on Alex Jones' show, but I kept it quiet for years because the threats that they gave me. Even when I took care of the depleted uranium clearing teams that went over to Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and countries like the Arab Emirates that were buying used equipment from the first Gulf War, I was told if I did any tests on the military personnel that I would be fired or worse. I said, what's worse? And they said, how about dead? So I received specific threats. And I don't take well to threats, being an old trauma ER doc. The idea of threatening a doctor to try that's trying to do his job to protect the military personnel is very nasty.
Speaking of threats, we have a few. We're not going to talk about it too much now, but I think we have a few NSA types and other types that want to come out maybe through this show.
Well, I'd like to encourage them because
yeah,
I have compassion for all of these people that are working in our military and our special forces and our intelligence agencies that they need to come out, and they shouldn't just use their first name as I encourage on my show. They need to say their full name. They need to have classified information laid right out on the table. And the reason why is because if they use their first name and they are, let's say, special forces or in intelligence service, the only thing you have is your reputation or your life. And if you say your first name, all they can do is kill you then because you don't have a reputation to destroy.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about, I want to discuss with you the HIN5 and the going from one protein in the virus to six, where it can jump species and let people.
Oh yeah,
I've talked a lot about HIN5, and you're like the next step from what I've already introduced to the audience. Now,
wonderful.
Let's
okay, well,
step two.
The avian flu. I'll just give a little background because I seem to have I believe in the power of intention and destiny. I very much believe that we literally are responsible for creating our universe and our world. And I think also we have roles that are played out based on how closely we harmonize with the God of the universe. And what's going on is, I, in 1997, March 16th, spoke to Human Life International in Zurich, Switzerland, and their international research scientists and doctors against cyborg research, fetal tissue transplantation. And after their talk, they gave me documents not only about the vaccination of women in sub-Saharan Africa that would cause antibodies against their placenta to cause sterility, but also proof documents that the HIV was a bioweapons project managed by Rothschild money through the World Health Organization, and that they gave me specific documents about the avian flu, which was being developed as a worldwide plague to reduce the population of the world, and how they were doing this in clandestine labs. Well, shortly after that, next year in 1998, the World Health Organization, funded by Rothschild, with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease and the Center for Disease Control, exhumed the body of a deceased 1918 miner in Alaska, and it took the fragments of the 1918 flu and with a gene engine built the 1918 flu. It turns out that those same lethal genes are present in the avian flu, and you have to remember that the 1918 flu is not an avian flu, it's a human-pig hybrid. My contacts have shown that this is actually a very rudimentary, very first range kind of bioweapons project that was started under Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they were doing bioweapons research. They didn't even understand what a virus was, but they knew that if they combined or transvected basically an infection through another host like a pig. They could change it so it can infect a human. So their biologists and scientists were pretty bright, even though they didn't have electron microscopy and other things. And what they did is they, letter by letter, you can actually, I talked to Dr. Henry L. Nyman, who's a virologist, who's been on my program every 2 weeks. So if someone wants to listen to the shows, they can actually listen on Nutrible.com on the radio archives under Avian Flu. But it was a show every 2 weeks for the last year and a half almost. And the key issues that tell you that this is absolutely, not my opinion now, this is absolutely weaponized in a lab is this. Number one, for 25 years, the H5N1 flu has been monitored worldwide and has been, they've been watching it to see if it would change. And it has only one gene called a basic gene in what's called the cleavage zone. Now, when a virus attaches, the flu virus, there's two steps. The first step is a lock and key where it attaches to the cell. And the second step is it's split, and then the split protein called the H protein splits into H0 and H1, and then the virus can enter the cell. That first step called the lock phase requires five genes that make it really efficient to get into human cells. And it just acquired one of those genes as the virus went through turkey, called the H227 gene. And it was converted to a glutamine in the amino acids there. If it acquires one or two more genes anywhere, whether it's in Asia or France, and the way it does it is not a mutation. It's a very, very methodical, mechanical process where an organism, let's say a pig in France, that carries the pig flu, which is H1N1, is also, the pig is infected with H5N1, and then it swaps that little snippet of DNA, that gene, at that position of the receptor binding domain, so it attaches like a lock and key. If it only gets one or two more genes, it's going to be like an explosion. And the thing is, that's step one. Step two is that this protein has to split. Well, if there's only one basic amino acid in that cleavage or splitting point, there's only enzymes, let's say, in your mucous membranes that can split it. So you can't split it in your liver or your brain or elsewhere. But this little devil, this virus, that appeared all of a sudden a few years ago all over Asia, over millions of square miles simultaneously, suddenly transformed to have six, counted six basic amino acids in the cleavage zone, which I asked Dr. Nyman and checked other experts, this has never occurred in hundreds of millions of years. Some viruses might have two as an exception, but never six. It means that the nuclease, which is the enzyme inside the cell, can go up to the cell surface, splits the H protein in brain, heart, liver, bone marrow, skin, anywhere it wants to go. So this virus literally can infect every mammal, every species of non-mammalian organisms. And once it is a binding domain, in other words, a way of attaching to the cell in step one, it can kill any animal on Earth.
Yeah.
And so this is a killer bees of viruses. It also can swap some of these genes with everything from Ebola to Crimean fever, to many other nasty viruses. So it's, if you want to call it, this is a, we call this Virus X. And I was taught this by my professor who worked on a class 4 installation on the T-Virus project back in the early 70s before it was shut down. And all of his colleagues died when the virus got out of containment. That this virus has all of the characteristics of a virus, according to Dr. Nyman, that in his calculations, if it acquires the capacity to be efficient at traveling between humans, it's at least 25 to 30 times more lethal per case than the 1918 flu, which is about 2.5% worldwide lethal. This is around anywhere between 25 and 62%. So it is in his calculations, very possible that it could slay up to 1.8 billion people on Earth.
Which is part of what they wanted to do.
Plus, it also can come in waves over years or decades. You could, the 1918 flu came in three waves. This could come in waves over years. The 1957 Asian flu came in three major waves and minor ones over 11 years. So this could be very serious. This is definitely weaponized. The term that I like to grab, the name from Alex Jones, whose show is on before mine, he called it the Zykronian 12 plague, and it sounds like a good sci-fi name. So I used that, and I said, you know, I almost as a ploy on them, because months ago, Alex was coming out saying he thought it was all scare tactics. And now I think he's starting to kind of change his viewpoint, realizing that I'm really sticking to my guns over this thing, that this virus has been weaponized, and that they have a vial sitting somewhere with all of these receptor-binding genes sitting in a vial, ready to release it, so they'll have plausible deniability that, oh yeah, this is spreading to France, and this has gone to Asia, and it's now in Nigeria, et cetera, et cetera. But what really their intention is to release it and kill a huge chunk of the population, and also use it as a basis for public health and forcing the chip into everyone, the RFID chip, for quarantine and tracking of everybody on Earth. That's why all these national...
The RFID chip, I don't think too many people are aware of that yet.
Well, radio frequency identification can be picked up with a radio frequency gun up to 300 or 400 yards, but these things can be actually tracked from space. And this has the same chipset as the cell towers, but they're working on these satellite systems, so they're going to be able to do it by satellite and augment with cell towers and other tower systems all over the Western world.
So it just goes right along with your cell phone.
Right. It's the same global chipset, and they go down to 0.02 microwatts. So they don't need a lot of energy to track it. Now, they can't download the data unless they have a reader nearby.
Right.
But they're working on trying to get reader distances up to quite a distance. So with a gun... a reader gun, they can actually read some of these ID chips that are being implanted and tested up to 300 yards.
Yeah, that's coming, and that's a very real science. And
right, and these national IDs are all part of the overall matrix, because that's why January 1, 2008, both China and America have a national ID, which is DARPA database compliant, which is retinal scan, iris scan, DNA, etc. And the avian flu is part of this. And that's why if you go to an international airport in the U.S. now, over 24 of them are all set up, so if you're sick, you're quarantined for 3 to 5 days today. And you will be, if it looks like your test goes show positive for something serious like a quarantinable disease, you'll be transferred to a FEMA detention facility. That's not future, that's today.
And they're set up. And the other thing is that, as Bush tried to do in earlier, we get a few people in the neighborhood with it, and we call them martial law, and you're stripped of everything.
Right, and in fact... The national ID with the new Patriot Act is just being kind of pushed through with our compromised Senate is also being forced on Canadians who've agreed. In fact, Harper, who was a Bilderberger attendee for 3 years in a row, is now planned to have the ID in Canada a year before even America. And it'll be DARPA compliant with retinal and iris scan, DNA, 10 digital fingerprints digitized into this trackable ID with an RFID chip, and eventually the chip placed in people.
Yeah, anybody arrested today for any sort of crime, even misdemeanors, has to have, before they're released from detention, a 10-finger ID response into the international network, you know.
Right, which goes into, and it's also exchanged with Interpol and all the security agencies in every country.
They won't let you out of jail unless they get it.
Right, and the thing is, your data then goes into this huge pool globally.
Right.
And ultimately, I actually worked at the Global ID Center in Echelon at Falcon Air Force Base, and I've been through the quantum computing array, which is gallium arsenide Cray-5 supercomputer array, that's quantum computing array that's underground. I've actually been through the array, and it is been crunching
up in Colorado,
and building it in Colorado.
Falcon,
Colorado. It's called Schriever Air Force Base.
Yeah.
And this array has actually been crunching data and on every citizen in the Western world for decades. So when people say that they don't have a global tracking system, their lies, and all the stuff about the NSA has always been tracking everybody. Every phone, fax, email, anything you say, anything you fax, has all gone to an AI supercomputer. And then if you flag high, like I'm sure I flag real high, then there's a real person listening, and I hope that they actually take
notice. Well, we welcome Langley and Quantico tonight, of course.
Right. Well, the thing is, I hope that they actually worry about their own children and grandchildren and the future of America and the world, because the only nation that had a republic, which means the value of a citizen is greater than the capacity of the majority to take away their rights, was America. And America is quickly losing that with parallel admiralty law, gold-fringed flag law, which is martial law that is sidestepping the entire Constitution. And they're going to completely suspend it when we go to Code Red with either a nuke in U.S. cities.
Well, speaking of that, tell them about the nukes that are pre-planned.
I have this from my many contacts, but they're
up to date about the ones that are there now.
Alexander Levitt, of course, said this back some years ago, that there were at least 87 suitcases and larger nukes that were missing from the Russian stockpile.
Right, and I said the same thing 20 years ago.
Right, and the fact is, though, that from my contacts in NSA and CIA, There are at least 22 U.S. cities targeted with these nukes, Sukhoi's nukes or larger, maintained by Russian GRU and Mossad nuclear scientific agents. And these same agents, of course, the Mossad were the ones that planted the bombs, the nuke bombs and ferroite in the Twin Towers. That's why we arrested, our good FBI arrested hundreds of Mossad agents, and then rather than try them in America, they extradited them to Israel, and many of them are still back in the U.S. now. But that's what the reality is behind the scenes.
Yeah, and a lot of people are not quite aware of that.
Well, you know, this is I'm bringing out all these facts. I believe there's no such thing. If we don't bring it in order to the light, you see, I believe that the truth sets you free, and not classified garbage. Like, for example, the reason why there's a war on drugs and why doctors can't prescribe their cancer patients or people that are in what I call a terminal condition of very, what I call, agonizing pain from non-cancer conditions, which is a terminal condition, by the way, because many of these people will suicide.
Oh, yeah.
$250 billion go into the black op projects, including deep underground military bases, one, off-world projects, including advanced colony on Mars and the U.S. mining operations on the moon and all kinds of other things, like our entire fleet of Aurora spacecraft, which I've talked to senior technicians and engineers on these projects.
And there's a picture of that in my book, Rays of Truth.
Right, and the fact is that they are real. I mean,
most
of these so-called
craft
that people are seeing are not hallucinations. They're U.S. military aircraft that we've developed that came out of originally the Skunk Works and the research that went back before the Second World War with the Nazi Germans.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the nice thing is that I know that in my research days we were working on that stuff, and when your generation came, you finished it. that's how.
Well, and the thing is, a lot of the stuff has been up. It's been up many years too, and the problem is that some of the stuff, like I talked to one general underground at Falcon Air Force Base, who's a 4-star general, and he said, you know, he sat on the other side of Gorbachev when Reagan kind of was jiving him about Star Wars weaponry, and Gorbachev says, well, you know, you're not planning on doing that, and Reagan says, Garvey, we've had it up for years. And you could tell that Gorbachev kind of, he had a few skipped heartbeats.
Yeah, he
did. This other general was kind of laughing because we could read a license plate 30 years ago.
Yeah, trade engineering cameras. I worked with trade engineering, cameras.
Let me give you a list of some of the systems we have. We have got EMP weapons that are satellite launched.
Yeah.
And airplane launched that can take out an entire continent or a city.
Yeah.
We've got what's called a grazer gamma, a coherent gamma beam that can scan a city like Beijing and kill everyone in it within seconds with a focused coherent gamma beam that scans like the old style TVs from cyclotronic accelerators that are in space. We have nuclear missiles in space. They can blow the missiles, shield, and hit a target with a 50 megaton warhead in less than 90 seconds anywhere within 50 square yards anywhere on the planet. We have what's called phased array spectral analyzers that you can't shield with lead. They can actually see up to a kilo of scintillating material up to 440 meters below ground and actually tell you the molecular structure and the shape of the object. So if they wanted to see a city or building, we've got bioweapons and cryo in space to bring it down to a target. We have what's called plasma guns that can hit a target at the speed of light with a plasma magnetic gun that is called C3, developed by Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, etc.
Work for them.
Yeah, they can hit a target and vaporize it at 11 million degrees, twice the temperature of the hottest place in the sun, and will hit an accuracy of hitting a match head at 35,000 miles, traveling at 17,000 miles per hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, and a lot of these weapons are not aimed toward the Earth. They're aimed out in space because we have lots of other things going on out there that the public are completely unaware of.
Yeah, I totally understand that, but we're making them aware of it.
Well, we need to because we're also ticking off a lot of, creatures other than humans. We're also making alliances with beings that are actually not very savory type of characters. And we're doing things like DIMECOR disappearing 210,000 people that the Red Cross notified last year when they went to trial, and they proved it. And then, of course, Rumsfeld says, you know, they can get out of the penalty box and go back and get government contracts to do this and that. You know, you can go check out Cynthia McKinney's actual statement cross-examining Rumsfeld on this, and they actually have lobbyists on Capitol Hill lobbying for the trade in humans for all kinds of things, including not only the sex slaves off, and ships off of Africa to Saudi Arabia, to underground medical facilities to do human experimentation on, to off-world facilities.
Yeah.
And people don't want to believe this. It's too bad. This is the way it is.
But you and I could easily, if we had all night, go project by project between the two of us, name names, and probably the source and the genesis of each project, because I was around during the genesis of a lot of them, and then you, of course, were coming along on the genesis of some of them, but I see you continued on with some of the ones that I, you know, obviously left when I went
right, plus also I've got a lot of contacts, and I keep on getting more information fed to me all the time.
Yeah.
Plus, of course, I have capacities that go beyond just my contacts, and that you're probably aware of that as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that.
And
you know,
the thing is that I have an intention of good toward my fellow man, whatever, quote, religion or color or sex they are, and not of evil. And as a result, the only way we can create a future that is good and nice and non-polluted and not threatening to every living thing on the planet, where, you know, the worst thing we've ever seen is this depleted uranium.
That's the killing all the kids in Iraq.
Well, 440,000 equivalent Nagasakis of depleted uranium has been disposed of through these shells, literally, that when they leave the bore of the gun are on fire at 6,000 degrees, and 40% of the weight of them turns into nanoparticles that circulate the troposphere. And not only are they destroying the DNA, I call them DNA landmines, but they're damaging the Van Allen belt, which is the ionization belt that protects us from cosmic and X-rays from the galaxy.
Coronal ejection, that was part
right.
of the Katrina thing that I brought up.
Right, so you get...
H-182.
Right, so you get all these things like neutrino particles and cosmic rays and X-rays, and the Van Allen belt was protecting us, and since they started above-ground nuclear testing after the Second World War, they've been chewing away at it while the DU is really chewing away at it. And so now we have this depleted uranium up there, and the plan now is that Bush is, according to what I call President Cheney and puppet Bush.
President Cheney?
Yeah.
You want to go hunting?
Yeah, right. And he's a very evil man. This guy was the head of the mind control projects, MK Ultra and all the other ones tied in with Disney and Baltimore, John Hopkins, and Menninger Institute in Kansas, et cetera, and UC Irvine. All the really weird, nasty projects.
Right.
This man was involved with them. And if you don't believe me, go and check out Transforming America by Kathy O'Brien. I taught a course with her 7 years ago.
Yeah, I know all about Kathy O'Brien. But true, put that information out. A lot of people don't know who she was.
Right. Well, she was a mind control slave, and these people were trained basically under the mind control programming. they became a memory, kind of a memory bank for transferring data. They were also involved with being used to carry out operations, including assassinations and so on, and they were total mind control, just like a robot. Given trigger words and trigger phrases, they could download huge amounts of data and then transfer that information as well.
You know, and the recruits, I might add, for that program came from families with histories of incest in their families. That was where they recruited from, because these people were brain dead.
Well, they had multiple personalities, so they had an altar, so they could play with the altar, and then
exactly.
When you play with an altar, the only thing that limits your memory, in fact, is what's called a sensor band. And when you have an altar, there's no sensor band, so you can dump as much data in as you want. If you want to give them pi to 400 places behind the decimal, or the log tables, or lists of hundreds of names, it's easy for someone in an altered state to actually download that data into.
Right.
Which is very similar to what we call idiot savants, where you see a savant. They have alters in a sense in the savant state.
That's true.
Yeah. So, and I have personal experience knowing, because I was supposed to do research on multiple sclerosis. My first wife was dying of MS in 77. So I got approved to actually be the senior research scientist working with Dr. Wallace Tortelot at the VA hospital in Santa Monica, California. And the first project was to be the senior technician scientist working my PhD in neurology residency with the World MS Tissue Repository of Brain Tissue to do electron microscopy and immunological studies. The other four projects were all involved using, the first three were using prisoners from West Orange and Irvine state penitentiaries and commuting and reducing sentences by implanting platinum and palladium electrodes and microchips into the various centers of their brain to see what they see, hear what they hear, and directly wet-wire them so we could connect them by satellite control to turn them into cyborgs. And fifth project was a project where we were taking a squid, which is a magnetic.
I have that in my book, Rays of Truth, which you haven't received yet. There's a lot of information for you out there about the squid, but go ahead.
Yeah, the squid, of course, converted the magnetic fields into specific frequencies that could be then analyzed by a computer. And they had supercomputers that were laptops, by the way, years ago, but they didn't want to tell the public this. All these technologies go back to 1947 and before. And they were using this in a mock-up fighter that would actually convert thoughts and direct to actuated commands to fire ordnances or fly the jet at super high speeds with much better control than using hand controls, using eye movement and flashing the commands onto the front inside canopy of the jet.
Right.
And just like the movie Firefox, it was out years ago that they talked about flying the jet by thought. And they've had mind link experiments going back to Tavistock, England, going way back to Dr. Penfield in Britain almost 100 years ago.
Yeah, you know, that's how, when I was 14 years old, that's my first indoctrination into the government, was I was part of one of those projects called MKUltra, which you're aware of. That's how I started out.
Right, and these projects are, they poured billions and billions and billions of dollars, I like the Carl Sagan's term, billions, into these projects, and most of them are incredibly unethical, and it just so happens. Dr. Ewan Cameron was one of my professors. He was visiting from the Montreal Neurological Institute back in 1973 and 4. And so for 2 years, he taught us as one of the visiting professors and went over in very great detail the excruciating, inhuman experiments that he did right to our class. And so I recall that very good because I have a pretty close to photographic memory. And this man was a monster that made, I'm sure made Mengele smile from the grave.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, and this guy, he was not just a little average guy. He founded the American Psychiatric Association. The Canadian Psychiatric Association received numerous awards and was fully paid and locked up with the CIA. And I'm sure this man was extremely wealthy and powerful, but he was a Dr. Mengele type. Yeah. And the medical profession, by the way, hasn't really changed a lot. I can tell you there's lots of really unethical and nasty things that are done by drug companies and doctors.
Yeah, yeah. Right there, let me just stop you for a second. I've talked about Operation Paperclip, and my professor at the University of Michigan was Dr. Katz, and of course, Wernher von Braun was Paperclip.
Right.
Explain to them from the medical side some of who these personalities were that came over here, you know, how to explain some of the companies like Merck and IG Farben and how they funded the Hitler and how we co-funded the Hitler thing, and how, explain a little of that so they get a little background so we can go into the next
Well, segment. Of course, it turns out that Prescott Bush, which is Bush Jr.'s grandfather, funded through the Union Bank the building of Panzer tanks by the American auto industry, General Motors, for the Panzer tanks in Germany. In fact, our American Air Force, the Canadian Air Force, and the British Royal Air Force were not able to even, by command, bomb these facilities that were paid for by American money on loan from the Germans during the Second World War. The other thing is when these scientists were brought over, they were brought over with the help of the what's called the Rat Line out of Germany by the Cardinal, with the direct consent of the Pope at the time, to bring them over to America on special Air Force jets. And then they signed in Virginia with Dr. Reinhard Galen what's called a secret treaty of Fort Hunt that allowed the Nazi Germans to actually integrate fully with our advanced space programs, including NASA, the Wernher von Braun, of course, in the rocket programs.
Yeah, I worked with
But him. Also all of the mind control and research programs that the Nazi Germans were doing, because they were doing work on harmonic frequency and brain entrainment and electrode implantation, and not only in Jews, because the Holocaust wasn't just a Jewish Holocaust. It was, there were actually more Slavs and other peoples killed than even the Jews, but it wasn't, not to
mention the Holocaust. Joseph Stalin killed twice as many as Hitler.
Right, exactly. But the fact is that the Nazi Germans did a tremendous amount of medical experimentation. I mean, just in several facilities, they transplanted over 110,000 arms, for example. They were transplanting eyes. They were doing things like nerve grafting. They were doing hypothermia experiments. And all that research went to McGill University and John Hopkins in Baltimore, which is one of the main repositories of this research.
I worked with them one-on-one.
Right. And a lot of this research went to America, all of the research that eventually developed into things like cardiac surgery, and neurological surgery and spine surgery all came from Nazi Germany. And people don't realize that these scientists were incorporated directly into the top medical schools. And the ethics behind it, or the lack of them, it still continues today, which is why I call the FDA fatal drugs allowed. So that
I love it.
You know, when they came out with Celebrex, Bextra, and Vioxx, they were causing additional heart attacks by 500,000 over the 4.5 years that they knew this. They said, I guess, well, you know, what's 500,000 dead extra Americans?
Maybe the Celebrex means that people are celebrating because they're in the wills of the wealthy people that died from it, from a heart attack.
Right, and of course we knew what it did. It interfered with the good prostaglandins that protected your vessels.
Yeah.
They ended up with hypercoagulable states, thick blood, and ended up with clots and thrombi. But, and they knew this, but, you know, hey, it's the same thing as, I'll give you an example. The drugs that lower cholesterol, like Zocor and Lipitor, they interfere with coenzyme Q10 and they rob your body of it. So they can cause a myopathy, and they can actually cause a thing called rhabdomyolysis, where your muscles all dissolve. And the muscle proteins can
clog
everything.
That happened to some people. Yeah,
sure, it happens all the time. And then the lawyers get rich on it because they can go and sue for this. But the drug companies just pay it like paying a parking ticket.
Exactly, for their income. It doesn't matter.
For their income, oh, it's a parking ticket. And then all it's 10, you know, 3 million, so what? You know, nobody else is going to complain. And the rhabdomyolysis can cause kidney failure as well. But what it does is worse is most people taking these antihypertensive or these cholesterol-lowering agents especially, they cause congestive heart failure because when you rob your coenzyme Q10, your heart muscle cells, called the cardiomyocytes, they die.
Yeah, there's no energy there anymore.
Now, the Crestor, the drug company that's now being sued, and another company went to the FDA, I think, about 5 years ago, and they actually asked if they could add CoQ10 because they knew from their own studies that it was really efficient at lowering cholesterol, but it also completely robbed the heart of CoQ10. It's the spark that makes your muscles contract, and then your muscle cells die if it's robbed.
That was actin, an amino acid called actin.
Right, and so what happens is that CoQ10, the FDA said, no, we're not going to let you add CoQ10 to that drug. Just go kill a whole pile more people.
Yeah.
That's an actual fact. You don't believe
I know. I know. I've been there. It's so great to have you on here, Dr. Deagle, because I don't know how to bring this out by myself. You know, I mean, thank God there's two nuts now.
There'll be a dynamic duo. Okay. We'll scare them with the fact. But the thing is, I like to give them things that they can go Google search and say, oh, my God, that nut's a right nut. That nut is actually saying something that he can back up. And, you know, the most tremendous thing is our medical profession is, and this is possible, people may not find this, but is actually more unethical and more corrupt than the U.S. government, even when it plans a nuclear war in the Middle East.
Yeah, I believe that.
It's more corrupt.
Now what I want to do now is I want to tell you a little story here real quick, because this is from my side of it, and then I want you to tell the audience, so I'm going to take about a couple of minutes to tell a little story here.
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, I spent 20 years with the National Health Federation. We were the ones that had a guy named Clinton Miller and a couple others. We were lobbying full-time in Congress. It was started a long time ago, back in 1950, when Fred Hart had built a machine that got rid of arthritis called the Deep Polar Ray. And the FDA moved in and shut them down because you can't use electronic healing, but it worked. So anyway, early 70s, this is the beginning of Pyridine, my company, because a lot of the things that we're talking about, the products that Pyridine makes, gets rid of these effects. But you need to know from other sources that they're really there before you look at me. So anyway, I used to, in the mid-70s, I would have these older people come to me, you know, people in 80s and 90s. The profile was that most of the time they were single older people, you know, and they were, you know, affluent enough to, you know, live in an apartment somewhere. And they would, you know, a couple people came to me and they said, Dr. Bell, I just moved into this apartment here, and this gray truck was parked out front with this little antenna on the top. This is now early 70s. And this antenna was kind of pointed at my apartment, but I never thought much about it. But when I was in there, I'd start feeling this weirdness, this psychological, this paranoid. I couldn't sleep. And then these people would move next door, and I know there was something going through the walls, and it was affecting me. And when you talk to people that are 80, 90, 100 years old, the National Health Federation, our clients, people that came to participate in our action, you know, listen to our speakers, well, you think, well, they're paranoid, they're this or that, they're, you know, whatever they're taking is not working right. But after you hear about 200 or 300 people in about every state in the union, every major city say the same thing, you start to look at you know, there's something really going on here. And that was why we developed this anti-ELF device called a Star Orb. So could you explain from back then to now where the sophistication is a little bit about what I'm talking about?
One of the best ways is to kind of tell the most recent things and then go backwards.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I had a conversation just 2 weeks ago with Dr. Nick Begich, whose father, he was adopted. His father was a former congressman that disappeared in Alaska with very questionable circumstances because Congressman Begich was kind of a whistleblower, and he was a person who stood up for the people of Alaska and didn't want to have bad things happen. And there's quite a story behind that if you ever go to his website. Just Google Dr. Nick Begich.
And he's How do you spell many, that?
B-E-G-I-C-H. Dr. Nick Begich. B-E-G-I-C-H.
Okay, that's very
He's an educator in Alaska. He's also has his company where he teaches a lot of things about mind control. He's an expert on HARP and the sonar holocaust that's destroying all of our sea life and our whales and so on. Of course, they don't move our shipping lanes, which are getting within the whales have specific lanes, too. They go in the oceans.
Right, I understand that.
Well, and if we had any common sense, we would realize we need to maybe put our ships where the whales aren't going so we don't kill all these whales off.
Yeah, I'll explain some of that later. Go ahead.
But anyway, Dr. Dick Begich just got a whole pile of documents, and he was just like a kid in a candy store a few weeks ago telling me that he got over a gigabyte of information from the Freedom of Information, showing absolute proof of the satellite-based technologies for affecting, and ground-based, for setting up harmonic frequencies to affect the minds of every person on the planet.
Right.
And every living thing. And you have to realize that everything is vibration. That's why the ancient statement that, you know, that everything that you see is imaginary, everything unseen is more real. You know,
exactly.
That's my precy on it, right? The fact is that, you know, it goes back to the idea of particle and wave and quantum theory and all the other things. But what they were able to do, both with the research from Dr. Delgado at Yale University, is that they went from brain implants to finding that they could actually just beam out frequencies and affect specific nuclei of the brain and cause brain entrainment. And they use this in the MKUltra project. So what they do is it actually sensitizes people by sensory deprivation or drugs. And that's where the drug, for example, LSD came out of, and some of the other ones called BZ that was tested in Vietnam. It's like an LSD that lasts for over a month. And the BZ people, a lot of them are still in mental institutions. From the Vietnam experience, they exposed thousands of our troops to BZ without any consent.
And a lot of times they never come back from
the... No, they never came back. They were.
Yeah,
they even left them
over like
there.
People like that in High Hope, the place where I work now, for the mentally, right, you know, deranged people.
Right, they left them over there even in cages and let the Vietnamese or the Russians experiment on them. And so what happens is that he was just telling me how all this data proves what I had already told him, because I have evidence from my contacts that the teledesic satellite system, and there's basically three major satellites that are both military and conventional use.
Yeah, explain that again. It's called telegeodesic, right?
Teledesic, yeah. Teledesic are the high geocentric satellites that are up 22,000 miles.
Right, they go way out there.
They're way out. They're staying way out, and they stay over one spot on the Earth, and they don't move.
Right.
And those satellites, they call them, this is what the technicians at Lockheed Martin Lucent Technologies told me, they told them they call them the Death Star.
Right.
Because they transmitted frequencies that are the same biological frequencies at which life forms transmit signals between cells. Now, to just back up a little bit, cells literally, your DNA is a crystal. And that crystal isn't just the 2 or 3 or 4% that codes for the protein structures, the amino acids. Most of it actually is, based on research I did, it's called phonon-maser DNA. And phonon-maser waves are coherent sound waves that are in the infrared spectrum near and far. And they actually are give you the signature of the molecular backbone and the side groups of the molecule, so they tell you what the molecule is. And hence, they tell the DNA to either switch enzymes on and off and actually code for the structure of how to build an organism. Because every organism is built on sheets, folded tubes and pinched off tubes of cells. And every organ, whether it's an eye or an arm or whatever, is based on hierarchical codes of frequencies that are coded in your DNA, a little like little micro antennas that switch your genes on and off and code for the structure of how to build any life form, whether it's a tree or a person or an eyeball. And they are transmitting in the frequencies that can specifically disrupt that.
Exactly.
Now, they have these weapons over in Fallujah. They actually have them, and I've seen pictures of them where they have them on the top of the Humvees and the APCs, where they can aim it at people, and they can hit them with a recorded frequency of fear, and they can make a hardened military warrior, let's say, or an Iraqi National Guardsman, curl up in a fetal position. They can fry specific areas of your skin at 130 degrees with another harmonic frequency thermal thing that will kind of burn the top hundredths of an inch of your skin. So it won't cook you, but it'll make it feel like your skin's on fire, like you're being hit with a blowtorch.
It's like an invisible taser from, great distance.
Right, and they also, of course, one of the reasons why they push things like aspartame is it came out of the G.D. Searle. Turns out that Rumsfeld and Cheney were involved on both sides of this. Cheney involved with the mind control and Rumsfeld with G.D. Searle because he's on their board.
Yeah, he's a shareholder there, I believe.
Right, and the reason why is because...
Big shareholder, if I remember.
Yeah, it was it was what's called a brain entrainment chemical.
Yeah.
They actually found what it did is a neuroexcitotoxin that makes formaldehyde and methanol. But it takes two neuroexcitotoxins. So if you pulse brain tissue of animals or humans, while they've had aspartame in their system, the brain starts to pulse with the same frequency. In other words, the cell sees. So we had airport. I was a civil agent.
Any place they're using aspartame for a sugar sweetener, they're a target. They're a victim.
Well, they can be targeted with ELF waves. They can even seize. In fact, that we had a number of pilots that were told, don't drink any diet drinks.
Exactly.
Or
you
you'll seize or blackout.
Everybody out there is understanding what we're talking about.
Right. You'll seize if you go at high altitudes or you go through G-force and you get your blood drains away because you get a red out or blackout or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's really, really dangerous. Aspartame is deadly. And by the way, Splenda is just a chlorinated sugar. It's another toxin.
Right.
And what it does is when the sugar is metabolized, it releases chlorine ions that fry your neurons.
Right.
And your DNA because chlorine attaches directly to the histone proteins and cook your DNA.
Right.
So don't get Splenda thinking it's great. It's not very Splenda.
I know. When I developed the nuclear receptor that people wear, it's to prevent people from getting affected by this stuff. But nobody understood where it's coming from.
Well,
I'm glad you're here. I really thank you for being here tonight and sharing this with the world because, you're so much more advanced than I am because, I was not involved with the research, up until about 30 years ago, and you're just, like, right on top of what I missed out on. I've been working on the equipment to counteract it, but it's nice to know the intimate, very factual details of what's going on out there now.
Yeah, and I want to get this out to the people so they realize that this is a global plan to fry the brains of people to destroy their DNA.
Exactly.
Just like the DNA, and people say, oh, no, they're not doing it. Look, this is the facts. I mean, I'm an optimist. My definition of an optimist, which may not be yours, is people listening, is an optimist is a realist who has a plan to respond to make people survive and thrive through the catastrophe.
Exactly. It makes you strong.
Right. And what my mother used to say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And a real optimist is not somebody that pretends in a fantasy world that they don't want to believe or doesn't want to believe that there's extraterrestrial life or advanced technology or malicious people who want to eat you or destroy your genetics. Sorry, reality is a lot nastier than that, but you can thrive and survive if you have your wits about you and you face the truth of reality, which can be very nasty but also very beautiful.
Yeah, it really... Well, we're coming up on immortality, and part of immortality is getting the facts, accepting the facts, dealing with the facts, and then processing the facts.
Well, I belong to the Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, and I have an anti-aging, I call it an intro list of 7 things on NutriMedical.com of things we have right now that can protect you, that can make a number of things change in your body to lengthen your current lifespan. But with research that we're doing on telomeres and other things, within 5 years, we could easily increase human lifespan 3 to 5 times.
Explain about telomeres, because when you start looking at human growth hormone, which we actually sell a spray version from Eli Lilly called Hematrope, explain right where science is with telomeres right now as kind of the life extending, it's the end of the road kind of a sign. Explain that to the people so they understand.
Well, a telomere is like a little button in the individual chromosomes, and each chromosome has like pairs of pants connected at the middle. So it's like 2 pairs of pants, long pants and short pants. So they're often what's called acentric, or the centromere, which connects the 2 pairs of pants, is not right in the middle. It seems like one set of chromosomes, or chromatids, we call it, is longer than the other. But at the end of each of those little pants, is a button we call the telomere. And every time your genes replicate or duplicate, you lose what's called a base pair at the end of that.
Base pairs per turn. As you get older, you lose base pairs per turn.
Right. And each time you lose a base pair per turn, you have, let's say, an extra, that button maybe has 52 divisions. And once you get down to the end of the button, you start unraveling your genes. And when your genes unravel, you lose certain chromosomes. So you lose certain enzymes and ability to reproduce your cells.
And there your skin starts to crack and you look older and you get baggy eyes.
Right.
Now, organs start to shrink after age 30.
Yeah. Besides the telomere, now they're doing research on nematodes, which are these worms.
Right.
And they have worms that basically their chromatids don't shorten. They don't have the telomere problems.
Yeah, that's true. They live quite a while.
And they've developed new ways of actually
quickly.
modifying the telomeres, say, in other animals. And this is the plan. You can modify the telomeres. And as a result, you would not have that portion of aging, at least that aspect, would not be a problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, totally. And what I did is I went with the nuclear receptor. I went into, we diagnosed where the telomeres, you know, every individual has a personality based on their soul vibration. And what we do at Paradigm is we look at that soul vibration. We test by color because that's one of the frequencies, or sound. And we look at their weakness in the telomeres, and then we apply a vibration there that causes that weakness to go away, and the body on its natural function can start to reproduce itself. Like the Pleiadians, one of the groups that I have communication with, lived to be 1,500 years. They've got this down pretty well. Now, realize that we're doing this, but the same thing, at the same time, we're having to deal with all these Death Star satellites, so we got a double-edged sword, because obviously the governments of the world don't want us, you and I, you know, we're beyond help from the government because we got our own thing going. We understand, but a lot of people don't.
Well, they don't want us living. They don't want to have 200-year-old people with IQs over 400 or 500 that are walking around that are totally aware of things and will not tolerate the destruction of the environment and future generations of all living things.
Yeah,
and
I understand.
So we're a stumbling block to globalists that have got this maniacal, crazy plan to destroy the world.
Yeah, but you know what? Now I want to go into the next level. We have a device at Paradigm. We call it the holographic projector, and it works on the hologram. So we've been real pragmatic now. The only way to go beyond pragmatism, which has been our whole show up till now, is to talk about the hologram and really come in and explain how each person's reality is a hologram.
Well, I like the theory about the explicate and the implicate universes.
Yeah.
And Dr. Masaru Emoto did a very nice little book recently about water, and he explained how when people's intention, it actually alters how fast things are, like rice will rot within a container, and he explained how the crystal structure and how beautiful they look, even in relationship to being near pictures or people's intentions in the water, or you know, prayer and so on can alter the nature of the water.
Oh, now, right. I wrote about that in my book, Death of Ignorance.
Right. So people might not think that that's real, but the fact
it's very real. I've got
yeah, it's very real, and that's why we have, even in hospitals, we have clinics and cancer clinics where somebody will pray for you. They can do it remotely. And
yeah,
it's also non-local. You can pray even into the past tense, into past time. You can pray into the future. The fact is that our perception of time, space is an illusion, and that we're actually a non-local spirit being having a human experience, moving through a series of reference points that gives us a sense of nowness as it moves through a timeline. And that's what physicists understand, because I was supposed to go to nuclear physics at MIT and develop advanced weapons, and I went into biochemistry instead because I have an aptitude for math and physics. And what I understand is that the reason why we aren't making progress is basically two things: worldview and corruption. And the source of solutions to our problems is not a technical problem, it's a spiritual one. All of the problems in our world have a spiritual root, which is we don't know who and what we are, because if we did, we wouldn't do what we do. And that's where it comes into this idea of harmonics. So what I did is I was working on magnetic field stimulation of bones in the late 70s with a Dutch doctor at the University of Calgary, and we developed a magnetic field device.
Who were you working with there?
It was a Dr. De Haas.
I did some work with some German doctors. I just wanted to see if it was one of the ones that I knew.
He was a Dutch doctor who was working on it. We would have these casts that we would put these magnetic field devices at 2 hertz with an asymptotic biphasic magnetic field device at 2 hertz that would stimulate the bone to heal, and it would stimulate DNA to make new ground substance so the bone would heal in non-union fractures.
Yeah.
What I did, though, is I went back, and being curious sort, I ran a free pain clinic, and to save time, I had a Dutch magnetic field device and a trans-electro-neural stimulator, and I had a free clinic so that nobody could complain that I was doing this work. And I remember having a firefighter come into my clinic, and to save time, I put him in both devices at the same time, and after about a dozen treatments, he says, "Thanks a lot, Doc, I'm all better." I said, no, I took you to x-ray. You have all these bone spurs from his work as a firefighter that was causing spinal nerve root entrapments and rotator cuff and everything, and I took him back to x-ray, and it was all regenerated. So I discovered something, so I got my electrical engineer to build a black box, and then figure out what I was doing, and then I actually went back and figured out the equations and then built a machine that generates what's called a morphic field to stimulate tissues to regenerate, which I haven't rebrought it out again because that was back in 1983 when we finalized that, because back in 88, it just so happened that I worked at a facility that was a Jet Aircraft parts plant, Pratt & Whitney, that was a front for directed energy weapons, and I was their doctor for 6 years. Taking care of them while they had all these crazy accidents. And I didn't want them to find out what I discovered. Otherwise, they would have made it an even much more nasty weapon than they already had. And, of course, they were doing it using sideband tunable microwave frequencies with a parabolic reflector so that they could hit the target. They were putting them on the M1 Abrams and the A-10 Apache helicopters in the first Gulf War.
Yeah.
And they hit the Iraqis inside a tank up to 5-6 miles away, go right through a mountain or a building, and it would literally unzip their DNA by hitting the harmonic frequencies, setting up what's called giant waves.
Right.
And it's only an ionic bonding between the two sides of the double helix, so their peroxisomes and their lysosomes would release and their cells would start digesting them. And they would start vomiting within minutes, go blind, and start bleeding from every orifice, and literally their cells would digest them.
Wow.
And these weapons are an example of just what they had back then.
Well, I know that from Hitler's sound weapons, what they did, they would just absolutely, people go crazy with those sound cannons and things that they had. I've studied a lot of that stuff. You know?
Well, they have a new weapon that they actually wanted to play with the United Nations. It's called sound weapons. And they hit you with an infrasound so hard they can actually gelatinize every organ in your body from miles away.
Wow.
They just go bam and it hits you just like that movie Dune, you know?
Yeah, no.
Where they go cha and they boom, it just hits it and it can vaporize something.
And that's not really hard to do when you start understanding, you know, now that brings us up to EMP. It brings us right up the back door to electromagnetic pulse technology.
Right, and of course this fits in with why what you're doing is very similar to what I did. Is we were able to, I had one hockey player had his hand cut off and he put it back on and we regenerated 90% of his nerve function in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Now I didn't go on and develop these machines further because I was so fearful that they were going to take that technology because theoretically based on my calculations of energy transfer to the DNA, you could theoretically make a weapon that could kill someone at 10,000 miles away if you knew their harmonic frequency.
Exactly. You can just make them disappear and not exist.
Right. And, this is very, very nasty. And, the problem is there's enough nasty things in the world, but we could also cure any illness. If you theoretically knew the right frequency, you could take a stem cell and turn it into a finger, a heart, or an eye.
Yeah.
That was identical to that person. You could theoretically hit someone with a frequency and regenerate their body and unwrap their DNA because one of the other steps that happens with aging is what's called DNA silencing, where histones wrap tightly on the DNA and then it calcifies. And you get calcified histone that shuts off specific genes. And that's one of the steps you could actually reverse using technology like this.
See, Jim, you probably know that people that live in greed and avarice typically calcify their pineal glands and die at an early age.
Right. And one of the reasons why...
Negative, yeah.
Well, one of the things I use that I have on my website, because I have lots of interesting technologies like stem...
Now, give out your website so everybody can go there, right?
Yeah, the website is Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. And if you look just at the anti-aging, you see, I think very much out of the box. If you approach each of these things, for example, there's no such thing as cancer that can occur without two things, heavy metals or free iron, and the presence of an infective organism like a virus or a fungus. In fact, most people don't realize this is one of the dirty secrets that the cancer people don't want to know.
You have a high alkaline level.
Yeah, if you alkalinize your body and you and you actually kill off the fungi and bacteria, which we have very simple natural ways to do that.
Yeah.
And you remove all the heavy metals. We have a product called liquid zeolite, natural cellular defense from Iora. You can actually reverse those processes, and you can actually silence the abnormal oncogenic DNA using an extract called Carnivora. And, of course, the cancer clinics don't want you to know that you could give, for example, 1/10 the dosage of the chemo, but you give it by with insulin potentiation. It's done in clinics in Europe and in Mexico. And the chemo will go directly only to the cancer cells, which, because of the low blood sugar, they can't pump out the chemo and they die, whereas the normal tissue is hardly touched. And this insulin potentiating chemo has been around for 25 years, but the National Cancer Institute doesn't want you to know because you might, every person that has cancer in America is worth $250,000. I mean, it costs $330 million before someone expires or gets healed. So it's a very big business.
That's huge. I think
what
used to be 1 out of 4 Americans would have cancer, and that
right.
was bigger than the automotive industry, which is like 1 out of 30.
Now it's going to be down to less than 1 out of 2. And so
it's
virtually guaranteed.
NHF, National Health Federation.
And of course the cancers, the research out of Switzerland has shown everybody that develops cancer always has heavy metals and toxins in the organs. You can take the organ, you can do incineration and nuclear magnetic spectroscopy, and you can show there's lead, cadmium, mercury in your prostate, your breasts, or whatever, and other volatile toxins. I mean, mother's milk in Washington State is loaded with fire retardant.
Oh, I know. Now, let me tell you something. It's radioactive. You know that I know for a fact that if a mother is breastfeeding crosses a state line, she could be arrested by the FDA for carrying a radioactive substance across state lines, and that's a fact.
Well, we had Livingston Lake in North Colorado, Westminster. One person, this is an actual fact, put 120 pounds of charcoal in his basement because he just figured, well, I'm near, not too from Rocky Flats, so I might as well filter the water. So he did.
Wow.
Because he thought the water aquifers and so on were continuous over to Rocky Flats. They fly jets over every U.S. city every week to see if there's any radioisotopes, and they have scintillation scanners on these helicopters and jets.
Right.
And the FBI crashed his home down, smashed him against the wall, and arrested him. Because he thought he had a collection of radioisotopes ready to make a bomb.
Yeah, from the water. That's
turned out what it was his water. It was being filtered in his basement, and they actually could see it from airplanes over overhead that flew over Westminster, Colorado.
You know what isotope numbers were in that? I'm curious to what number the
tremendous amounts of uranium, polonium, and cesium and strontium.
Really.
Yeah, lots of it. And, listen, the amount of radioisotopes from Rocky Flats, because I was a doctor for NOVA and the companies that were doing the remediation and testing there in groundwater to look at it as it was moving toward the Platte River.
Yeah.
Because it's only clay soil there and granite underneath.
Yeah.
And it was moving at a rate that it's supposed to hit the Platte River later this year or next year. That was back in 1997 when I was doing the work there, 98.
Yeah. I worked with the Hickory Apaches, and they had one of the Delta craft, Air Force ships went down with a plutonium-powered bomber on the Archuleta Mesa. And they had 7 Finger Lakes feeding from the river, from the Mesa down. That was the Hickory Apaches in Dulce, New Mexico. That was their income. 7 lakes of fishing. They lost all their lakes. All the fish died. That
of course.
85.
And the amount of plutonium in the Rocky Flats is enough to kill 580,000 Earths, every living thing, including all the bacteria.
Yeah.
That's just one facility. It doesn't include the Kazakhstan open pits.
Yeah.
Over in Kazakhstan, where they did most of their radioisotope mining and so on for the former Soviet Union, or the amount of depleted uranium and other radioisotopes and plutonium that the Japanese have. They're the third largest collector of all this stuff over in Japan.
Las Vegas is going to become number 4 pretty soon.
Yeah, right.
It is. People hate that. But I want to say, you know, one of the things that the bottom line is when you're exposed to radioactivity, it produces what's called free radicals. And just so everybody's not so scared, the nuclear receptor that I developed creates a thing called auric offset, which allows you to absorb gamma rays and some beta particles into your field and convert those into health signals into the DNA versus disruptive radical.
Exactly.
And, you know, speaking of products, would you tell people about your survival stuff? Because I'm going to I'm going to offer that, and it's probably available on your survival pack and stuff. Not the one you have now, but the one you're going to have in the future. We need to talk about that.
Okay. The first thing we developed is I knew that this thing with the avian flu was going to become a problem because I belong to multiple boards, and I started getting all this information about 3 years ago that the avian flu was coming. And, of course, the news media wasn't picking up on this a few years ago, but all our medical ones were doing this. So I started researching a little over a year, about a year and a half ago, and discovered that this avian flu was definitely going to be a problem. Now, for some strange reason, not only the alternative media, but the major media a year and a half ago would just say, nah, this is nothing. Don't worry about it. And, of course, tonight I've mentioned the specific detail that's not an opinion. It's a scientific fact that this was created in a lab.
Oh, we recorded every bit of it, and we're going to have it up on the archives.
Right, and here's what I did is I wanted to stick to simple principles. Hygiene, in other words, they'll kill viruses and bacteria and prevent them from getting in your airway. Host defenses, block viruses and bacteria from attaching or invading tissue planes. And reverse protection. So what I did in the biological kit, which is available on, it's called a first line of defense kit, that you can go to browse products by company and go down to first line. I designed it and had it put together by Lametco in Tennessee. Or in Kentucky, and what it consists of is we search for the very best mask. We didn't want to, people can go buy a gas mask, but nobody's going to carry a gas mask everywhere. So we got the very best mask, which is called an 8233 3M mask, made by 3M Corporation, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And that one contains a layer that'll bind radioisotopes and chemicals and even nerve gas. But it also blocks 99.67% of all smoke, even nanoparticles, and all viruses and bacteria with a foam seal and an exhalation valve, and they're only $18 a piece that we sell them for, because we want them to get to the public, and we sell them in four packs for $16. Now, the whole kit has a mask. It has a whole leaf aloe. Now, aloe is a very, very amazing thing, fits in with the harmonic research you're doing with your device.
We use a lot of that in our product. Aloe
Now, whole leaf aloe has molecular weights of millions of Daltons. And the reason is these large molecules basically act as conduits of these harmonic frequency waves that support life. If you put aloe, let's say, on the rat abdomen, you've shaved off the hair and you expose that rat to a cobalt source like for cancer therapy, the side that's been covered with the aloe will not burn and the other side will burn like crazy. Same thing with sunlight. You can stop the sunburn with a whole leaf aloe. If you take it internally, it'll actually stop what's called the radiation enteritis, where the bowel gets burned from a radiation source, because if you survive the really heavy dosages, it'll cause a cerebral syndrome that causes your brain and spinal cord to swell up. And you survive the cardiac syndrome that's so bad it'll actually make your heart fail. Then the one that'll get you is the intestinal syndrome, and this will actually, the whole leaf aloe will block all the radiation effects on your bowel. So it can damage your bowel, you can start bleeding, or it gets very leaky.
Right.
The next thing is that the holy fellow boosts your immune system and makes your white blood cells and your bone marrow able to be resistant to a serious overwhelming infection. Then we added a thing called Immunite, which is fulvic acid and humic acid, which block and kill bacteria along with nanoparticle silver, and 77 whole C ionic minerals that boost all your enzymes, so you boost your immune system. It's called Immunite. And I put together a new special tablet called Defense Tabs. And we searched around to find things that would block viruses from attaching to cells and bacteria. And we put the components in there, and these are very unique. One of them is a special catechin, which people say, oh, well, I have green tea. But this is the only one that's stable in the world is the one made by Dr. Yoshihiro Hara from the Mitsuo Norin Tea Company in Japan. And it's a magnesium salt called polyphenon, and we have the exclusive rights in North America to use this. Polyphenon, and what it does is it blocks all viruses from attaching to your cell. So that first step we mentioned where the virus attaches, if you take sufficient polyphenon, viruses can't attach. The other thing is we added things that bind free iron, because for bacteria to invade tissues, there's a reaction called Fenton reaction, and a bacteria cannot invade a tissue, whether it's pathogenic, unless it uses iron to generate these free radicals that punch holes through the cell membranes and the tissue planes in order to get in. So we did that to give people hygiene, host defenses, reverse protection. Then we added another thing called defense wipes that has Nissen, which kill all pathogenic bacterial capsules, it's organic and biodegradable. And we also combined it with monolaurin, which is lauric acid and inosine that is in all coconut milk and in mother's milk, but we have super high concentrations in these capsules. So what they do is they destroy, damage the DNA or RNA virus protein capsule. So they make it very fragile and easy for your body to attack and kill or degrade them in the environment. So you can wipe down a surface like a, you know, a laptop even in, say, an airport, and it'll kill the viruses. So that's a biological kit called First Line of Defense.
Yeah, we're going to have that available at Paradigm, too. And, you and I need to do an infomercial on that. That's a hot product.
Yeah, that's going to be very important. People need to know, this avian flu, I just got a call yesterday from one of my contacts in Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
And his daughter is a nurse, and he was told this week that they expect the avian flu to come soon, to not tell the public, and they expect to shut everything down in Canada for 100 days when the avian flu comes.
Yeah.
So people don't think this is coming. They don't want you to know, because they want to make sure that you can either put you in a detention facility, and some people will never come back out because they're going to be terminated.
Right, exactly.
They're already coded red or black, and that's it. You don't come back. If they're red or black, you don't come back.
Yeah, no, that's sad.
Blue, you're kind of, well, you could be re-educated if you just go along. You know, green, you're cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does sound like Nazi Germany. Guess what? We're in the Fourth Reich. We have the descendants of that with George Herbert Walker Bush in the White House and his father, the minion of Satan, Lucifer himself.
Yeah, I know. But we got some, between your biochemistry and my anti-ELF devices, I think we can put a hell of a fight up and actually.
Yeah. Now, on the site, if you go back to the news section, you can pull up a weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, nuclear checklist that I have up there free. It's 14 pages. And it gives you kind of response drills for chemical, biological, and nuclear. And even tells you what drugs and what natural things you can do to try to respond. And I posted up a PowerPoint, too, on nuclear detoxification and decontamination, as well as things like baths. And even all the drugs are used to support the bone marrow. So I include all the natural things and all the bone marrow things. Everything. It's right from the research going back from Nagasaki and Hiroshima and Chernobyl. So people can upload those and they'll see we have some real science that is behind this. So because they have pre-wired American cities, they do intend to put chips in people, and they do plan on this avian flu. And I'm not saying all this to just bring fear to people.
No,
I want them to know the reality so they can prepare.
My audience out here, the audience listening to you already knows you're just coming along with
right.
A seal of approval.
Well, what I want them to do, because they hear me and they believe, they'll get themselves a water filtration system like the Berkey we have, which is portable, or an inline system.
Yeah.
They'll filter out these nanoparticles and other things.
Speaking of that, can we just for a second talk about nanobacterial infections? I forgot all about that. You just brought that up.
Nanobacteria. That gets into chemtrails, and that's another one.
Yeah, everybody wants to hear. Can we just do a couple minutes?
Sure, why not? Listen, the chemtrails. Here's the fact. They're converting the atmosphere into a plasma. And, of course, being a physicist, you know, then they add so much metals, then the electrons.
Bromine is a big thing.
Right. They add barium and magnesium salts to the air, and they have literally plasma cells. That's real blood in these chemtrails coming behind the planes. They also are adding nanobacteria and fungi with intracellular nanobacteria inside the fungi.
And that stuff grows anywhere, hot, cold, it doesn't matter. It grows inside the core of the sun or in the deepest refrigerator.
Right, exactly. And then these things are so small, they'll actually, when they get inside your system, they get intracellular and they alter your DNA.
Exactly.
Now, for example,
temperature or environment.
Right, and they're doing this because it's suppressing the immune system. It's actually altering the way your DNA works. And it suppresses the many life forms, so that's why we're seeing many of these wasting diseases and other things spreading, because they're weapons. For example, Lyme disease was a bioweapon, got out of the Class 5 bioweapons lab in New York,
right?
Plum Island, because that facility was actually researching combining different genetics of spirochetes, and that's how they developed the Lyme. Well, the chemtrails, what they're doing is they have all these nanoorganisms and mycobacteria that are generating these mycotoxins. And 85% of the bioweapons research right now isn't viruses or bacteria. It's mold and fungi research and mycotoxins that can cause cancer, can switch off your DNA or can kill you very quickly. And chemtrails are part of it because they tell their people that are flying these jets that they're doing it to reflect the sun out to stop global warming.
Exactly. That's a big thing. I understand.
Yeah, but that's a lie, because what they're really doing is they're doing it for three things. They have parallel projects. Tesla harmonic scalar waves are used to cause geotectonic events to cause earthquakes
right.
and volcanoes.
They're
using it to steer storms.
Chain of events.
Yeah, they're using it to steer storms by creating a transdimensional vortex to actually cause the storm cells to move towards certain areas. So they focus the vortex over New Orleans and pulled all those storm cells in.
Exactly. We covered that on BBS radio.
Yeah, and they steered that right in there by creating a transdimensional vortex, which is basically a harmonic frequency array.
Now, thank you for backing up my show.
You've
never even heard it.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
And then the third thing they do is they know that they're using, this is the thing I talked about with Dr. Nick Begich, they're directly influencing human behavior using pulsed harmonic frequency waves. They can actually pulse in thoughts, ideas, emotions, and states of confusion. And people can protect themselves with harmonic frequency reversal, if you want to call it, protectors.
Yeah, that's what we make, a paradigm.
And that's what you make. And also, they need support and detoxify their body to keep themselves.
That's what you make.
And they also need to pray. They need to be in a spiritual right state, because we're dealing with what I call pollution at all levels. Spiritual pollution, harmonic pollution, environmental, chemical, and toxic pollution. Idea pollution, what I call lethal religious ideas, which are dividing the race of mankind on Earth and all the animals. And we're Earth beings. I mean, if you separate us out into space in 10 days, we lose 65% of our calcium. We demineralize, our DNA starts to shut off.
Yeah.
It's very crazy. And the Russians discovered this. If you don't have a Schumann frequency,
exactly.
10.5 hertz magnetic field and a 0.1 Tesla field range, and you don't have an artificial gravity and other things that bring in a portion of Earth, you can't even exist in space.
No, you have heart problems. I worked on the, one of the things I did at NASA was work on the astronaut space medicine program. And
right.
We learned right away what happens to calcium in astronauts.
65% of your calcium comes out of your bones in 10 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They can't even stand up when they come back from space on a long sojourn.
They're two
weeks, they got to lay on their back to get their calcium replenished.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, and they know all these things, but yet they're destroying the Earth. And I just got to think that it's a form we've been invaded by a dark energy and a dark intelligence that it has an intention of great evil, and we can counteract it if only a small portion of mankind steps up and says, "I'm going to be not fearful of these things. I'm going to have an intention of good toward my fellow man and all other living things." I'm going to rise to the occasion, because we're on the verge of joining the, if you want to call it, the cosmic collection of civilizations, because there's many other civilizations besides ours. It's very egocentric for us to think that we're the only sentient being in this galaxy or in this parallel multiverse.
Yeah.
It's very stupid, in fact. It's very Galilean. It's almost like when they lock Galileo up in the tower and excommunicated him. It's the same thing. It's like, you know, excuse me, if you think that we're the only being in the universe. It's crazy. In fact, every book from the Upanishads to the Bible talk about these other beings, whether they're good or malevolent. Some of them even splicing their DNA in with humans, creating the Nephilim and the civilizations that were our overlords that, in fact, currently have at the White House, their descendants.
You know, what's really funny is that back in, I think it was 52, there were hundreds of flying saucers flying over the White House. It was all videoed. It's in the archives. And yet they deny, hey, the government denies, you know, the existence of that. And it just shows you how arrogant they've become. And to a degree, I think the attention span of the world has gotten, I think, you know, traveling in Europe, people are more awake and aware over there. In the United States, when you come back from that, it seems like they're all kind of like in a fog over here.
Well, I think they're also pulsing out harmonic frequency waves. And the reason why I'm not affected by them is I think it's just like the Buddhist monks that are very, very much in tune with reality is as you create it or willing to accept.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like that. I'm of that spiritual level where I just don't accept it, therefore it doesn't exist. So they may want to try to attack me, but until the appointed time, I won't leave this mortal coil.
Exactly. And now there's two of us.
Yeah, and the only way we're actually going to save not only mankind, but this living thing. The earth is a living being. And we are connected to it. We are earth people. And the native peoples do this all over the world. But what they're doing is they're destroying the environment. It's not just destroying it. The earth is itself rising in convulsions right now. And they don't understand it. As they destroy the earth, they literally destroy the possibility of all these molecules that are in nature that could cure every illness out now or in any future illness of us or any other creature. And instead what they're doing is they're destroying our heritage and our future.
Yeah. But as we were talking about earlier today, we are on interdimensional levels now, and therefore the physical plane is only part of a bigger picture.
Oh, absolutely.
And it makes the observation here a lot more critical.
Well, yeah, because what we're doing really is we're supposed to be becoming more advanced as a spirit being. That's the purpose of our purpose here is to develop the power of our intentions to create what we really are supposed to be. Is we're supposed to be rulers over our universe. We're not supposed to be passive observers that worship an external being. We're supposed to literally become the rulers.
Exactly.
And the real problem with all of what I call the toxic strychnine religions is they separate relationship from the great I am who fuses with our being. And we become responsible rather than making something else or someone else responsible. We then become responsible for our future, our universe, and the choices that we make. And that's the problem right now is that I believe evil always grows between the separation of responsibility and authority. And so all of our religions all over the world, no matter what rule systems they have, try to do that separation and make God an external rather than internal.
Exactly. That's where they get their power.
Right. And they gain power by doing that because everyone else, the other religions have to be the mediator.
Right.
Rather than people making contact. You know, as Yeshua Emmanuel said, because I have to be a messianic believer because I understand my interpretation of understanding God is basically, how can I say it? A believer that is based on Torah Judaism or Hebrewism, because I believe the clearest representation that I understood was that original thing that went through Moses and the original church. Now, other people have got many other truths and many other religions, but I progressed beyond that to understand that the Essene, if you want to call it esoteric believers, and I don't like to use the word Christianity because it's kind of like a Roman blasphemy, really understood when Jesus said, you know, you when I return, you shall be as me because you'll be the same.
Exactly.
He wasn't saying that they're going to be different. He said, even greater things you shall do. He didn't say, I, you know, or God's going to
you
do the miracle. You have done the miracle yourself.
Exactly.
What he's trying to do is he's trying to teach them what they are and that, in fact, they're going to become a new creature, a new creation, because the spirit of their spirit and the spirit of the I am will fuse into one, and their consciousness will therefore become eternal.
Right. And you
which is their
God
soul.
Consciousness.
Pardon me?
Then you realize God consciousness.
Right, and that's the point.
Get hung up on Christ consciousness. Go for the big one.
Right, and the thing is, the people, it also makes people responsible. They can't stand by, well, I'm going to be raptured. Who cares if the world's full of depleted uranium?
Exactly. That's
don't worry, I'm going to be gone. So my kids, you know, that's their tough luck if the U.S. goes into debt and becomes a slave nation. Or, too bad if we get nuked. So what, you know? Or who cares about the whales? Our ships, we've got to bring all that stuff from Walmart. And if they go over and kill all the great whales, who cares about future generations not having these wonderful creatures? And they don't understand the very frequencies of the whales are generating is part of the life process of the planet of the Earth that maintains us. And as we destroy the ecosystems, we actually destroy the very basis for our DNA because it's a harmonic resonant of the DNA of, you want to call it, the very being of the Earth itself.
Yeah.
So in other words, the organism, the Earth, resonates with our very DNA.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and that's very dangerous. People don't realize, and they've learned how to weaponize this to destroy people and destroy things, and they can do it very effectively. People might think this is all theoretical. No, no, they've got it down to advanced scalar weapon technology that can do really horrendous things to people at great distances.
Yeah, I remember when the SR-71 was flying over Russia. The V-beam technology Russian system shot a 2-foot wing section off of it, and that's what launched the Aurora. suddenly became obsolete. I just know that from the day.
Right, of course. And the Aurora has been up for years.
Yeah, for years now. But I just remember the historic event of two sections of your wing missing when you come back in a titanium airplane. It means it's no good anymore.
Yeah, and by the way, that the Third Reich never completely surrendered with the Nazis. The German Empire might have been crushed, but the Third Reich transitioned to the Fourth Reich, which is current America, which is used as a bad cop for the New World Order. And when they finish with America, they'll trash it, throw it away, and create a global matrix that'll be horrendous for everybody on the planet, no matter what faith or political system they have. They'll have a different one for each group that they'll use to crush like a boot on their neck. And so people of all faiths and all types have to realize that the dialectic of divide and conquer has to end. Which is why, of course, they had things like P2OG to enrage and engage and radicalize the Muslims when maybe only a tenth of them were radical, a tenth of a percent. They wanted it to be 20 or 30%. You know, have Whiskey Pete fry women and their children, literally in their skin, burned to the bone in Fallujah, hit them with harmonic frequency waves, rape their women and torture their children in front of them in Abu Ghraib. And they do all these things so that they can enrage them, so that they can create a bad enemy that we can go in and then desire to destroy them. And at the same time, of course, destroy our troops.
Yeah.
Because they have pre-placed weapons, and I can give them a specific location if they don't believe me. For Chinese weapons, they have a forward placement facility. I've had Colonel Craig Roberts on my show in Freeport, Bahamas, the largest forward placement. Under Clinton, they gave the Costco Communist Overseas Shipping Company control of the largest deep water port on the Pacific coast of the United States in Long Beach, California. They have pre-placement of the Hughes facilities underground in near Kansas City, Missouri, of supplies in that one facility for 2 million man army for over 2.5 to 3 years. And they have everything pre-placed to do what they want, including all kinds of people, Chinese and Russians, pre-placed all over the place, former CIS nations, also being trained at places like Fort Riley, Kansas, and elsewhere, so that at any one time there's over almost 2 million or more foreign troops being trained on American equipment, American jets, and American artillery pieces and so on, so that they can completely subjugate the American population, who are not allowed in many states to carry a gun, but foreigners like German Air Force or Norwegian Air Force can fly over America. But they want to take away fully automatic weapons and other guns from Americans so that they can crush them and force them into rail cars that they're building at great speed with shackles and false floors and everything in a number of places, including in the Portland Foundry in Portland, Oregon, and many other places. So
we haven't even got into the underground digging stuff that you and I talk about, these guys that run several miles a day underground of facility. You know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I took care of John Fiala, who worked with Phil Schneider, and they were down in Dulce when this war broke out with the groups down there.
Yeah,
there's at least 8 different, quote, species of these things when the war broke out. And, of course, Phil got hit in the center of the chest with a plasma beam weapon and had to have his sternum replaced with a plate. And these men all died, got serious lung disease from nanoparticles because the tunneling machines were using impact lasers and then blowing the debris as microparticles in the sidewalls, forming an obsidian core and laying an inner core. And they were making unidirectional vacuum tubes for high-speed maglev trains at Mach 2, connecting all the underground cities, and there's at least 132 in America.
Right.
There are 5.36 to 7.24 cubic miles, an average of a mile and a half to 4 miles down.
And we'll talk about this in great detail on future shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're just giving them.
We're just giving them a little bit of the kind of the primer.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that's the kind of things that are going on. And if we kind of unveil this, and of course the root of this, believe it or not, is this war on drugs, because $250 billion plus is laundered through the State Department and U.S. banks, the subcontracted mafioso of various ilk.
Right.
And they do this and goes into black op projects that are managed by monsters like George Bush Sr. and the Omega Project, which is an above-government project that coordinates all the intelligence agencies of every nation on the earth, and it's an underground facility in Colorado.
Right.
Project Omega runs everything. Project Omega is directly tied in with the Omega Project from the Nazi Germans because it's the same project.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
God, it's great to talk to somebody that's been down the same road I have and even further. I love it. absolutely love it. I feel like I've been on a desert island, and then you came along, and my God, there's two of us on this desert island now. Maybe there'll be three or four. We get your buddy in.
I'm sure there's many more, but they haven't had the bravery yet.
Got to get them out. That guy in Germany.
They need to come out. They need to come out and say, and they need to call in when we have call in.
Yeah,
they need to document, and they need to put it up, because if they just put a little titillation, they're going to be shot down or killed or whatever. Because
the reason why I'm
bulletproof now because I'm so bold.
Yeah, I think I was one of the first to come out. I'm still around. I ain't going nowhere. If they put me out of my misery, I'll come back. I'll resurrect. I don't care.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the point is that, you see, they may shove you off this mortal coil, but in fact,
come right back. I got enough.
As a spiritual intention, I'll have
holographically project my image.
Yeah. Well, as a spiritual intention, I will create more havoc dead than alive.
Yeah.
Because my intention is completely focused, which is I will expose this. I will stop this. And even if a great chunk of humanity dies in the process.
We're
going to
do it together now.
Absolutely.
I'm
we will.
Come up there and see you real soon if you don't get down here first.
Absolutely. And the people need to realize this is not a rehearsal. This is not a game.
It's the first
I'm not doing
together,
this to entertain. This is really happening.
Yeah, it's really happening. And I think that, you know, I guess I met you about, a month ago or so?
Yeah, I think
two months ago. I don't know. It wasn't too long ago.
It's not that long, but we had a lot of discussions.
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussions because, you know, it's really neat to know that I've met somebody that's done, you know, I was an era before you, but my God, you know the stuff that I saw I was there when they were planting the seeds and getting the first sprouts, and you're coming along for the harvest. I think it's really cool.
Well, the thing is that it's neat to be able to discuss things that we know. People need to know the history of this. They need to know that Nazi Germany was not just a little experiment.
That was a big deal.
It was a very big deal. It opened up all kinds of transdimensional vortices we can talk about.
Yeah.
It opened up an evil that entered our dark, what I call dark energy force that entered our universe.
Yeah.
It opened up things in terms of geopolitics and the Nazification of medicine.
Yeah.
And the NASA space project and long-range weaponization of space, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I got to tell you something, Dr. Deagle. My girlfriend, Mikkel, she knows that I'm, you know, I wouldn't call me arrogant, but, you know, like you, I've been around the block for a lot of years, and there's not much that you hear in the general chatter in the New Age.
Right.
Or even the physics community that you haven't already heard like 20 years ago.
Right.
And Mikkel says, gosh, Fred. He was there the first time I talked to you. You were on the phone with two or three hours with him. He must be cool. I thought that was great, you know.
Cool or weird, the fact is we can document this. I've been inside the Array Underground. I've actually worked on these projects.
Yeah, and I worked on my share of them in my time.
Yeah.
You know what, between the two of us, we can document a hell of a lot. We get a couple more people coming in. I think we're going to see a pretty powerful union here.
Well, people will start to realize that we're not just saying this.
We have no purpose for this other than the salvation of humanity. The babies. My whole thing is the babies that are out there, little children being born as we speak.
I interviewed on my program this past week, Lorraine Murray, on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
And people can listen to the radio archives. I'm actually going to get the rest of the
archives. We're getting them up on BBS, too.
Right. And the thing is that Lorraine is a former geoscientist at Lawrence Livermore. And these, I can call her the Lady Diana of depleted uranium. I call it the DNA landmines. That's the title I gave her. She likes that, right? I call it DNA landmines because these literally are landmines that are cooking away inside your cells. When a vet comes back, they can leak it in their sperm for 8 years, 10 years after they come back. And they're causing their wives to get cancer inside their internal organs.
Right.
They cause their children to get Mycoplasma fermentans. We've had Dr. Garth Nicholson on.
Yeah.
Because these vaccines are actually laced with bioweaponized mycoplasma.
Don't put me up on those. I join you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mycoplasma fermentans came directly out of Nazi death camp research going back 60 years ago.
Yeah.
No, I mean, totally these things were developed right out of Nazi Germany and brought to America, and America now has been completely taken over by the Fourth Reich.
I totally agree with that. So now what we need to do, because we'll be out of time here soon, we need to get Don. Don, are you there? Can you come back in now for a second? I'm trying to get Don Newsom on there. Hello, Don. I don't know where he went.
He's probably in cataplectic shock from listening to all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, because I wanted to do some questions and answers, but Don disappeared on us, and I don't know what to say.
Well, fire up what questions you think that people might want to hear, and I'll try to see if I can come up with answers. I love question and answer.
Yeah, I do too, but we got to get Don on here just to do those.
Yeah, if people have questions, though, they can also email me. If they go to NutraMedical, they can email, and
Okay.
So how are we doing?
You know, I gotta say, I love the show. I'm just enwrapped.
Yeah, this is what I have done all my life. This is what Dr. Deagle is doing now. This is what I was trying to explain to you. There's more out there like me. We just gotta get them to come on in. You know, the NSA. And Don, tell Dr. Deagle what that psychic told you about the people coming in.
Well, which part?
Well, people would come in, you know, out of where, like NSA, and on this show, they would come in and get discovered, you know, sanctuary kind of thing.
Exactly.
Well, that's what they need. They need a media sanctuary, because once they're exposed.
Well, I've been told that this is, you know, we're going to be an avenue where much information that has not been revealed will be revealed, and that many people who have not had the opportunity, nor, I guess, the protection to be able to do that, are what we're doing will afford them that. So, yeah.
Many of them are very frightened. They're listening now. Like I had a technician call me on the Aurora spacecraft just a few weeks ago, and he said, "Oh, you know, you should have got me 2 years ago. I'm frightened to go forward, or they'll terminate." So, you know, don't use your first name, or don't even talk to me on the phone about this, because you need to use your full name, or they will kill you.
Oh yes, I believe
that. Once you're public, you become bulletproof if you get your information onto a public media and archive. There are multiple servers, so they can't destroy it or wipe it out.
Yes.
Yeah, Don, we're doing that as we speak.
You know, and I think what you're doing is commendable. It's important because, again, like you say, life right now is just a blip on the screen, and when we cross over, you know, we're still going to be around, and we have the opportunity now without any fear, none, without any fear to do exactly what needs to be done, because if we don't do it now, you know, I mean, look at what we're leaving to our children, our children's children, and you know, even though there's going to be a process for many people to move out of this particular matrix, I think that, you know, it's really our responsibility to clean up the mess.
Right, and we need to start thinking about it now before it becomes a mess.
Exactly.
And we should also think about us as not just our identity as us. The barrier between me and you, and me and every other, not only human being, but every other living thing in our world and in the whole universe, is in many ways an illusion. And we need to face the reality that it's just like Yeshua Jesus said, that, you know, even though you do it the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. And what he's really saying is, you know, if you leave depleted uranium and you destroy the Iraqi children and they come up with deformities, you've done it to yourself. Even if you died, you remember that there's a consequence in the spirit and the physical realm now and in the future. And those consequences go on. I mean, there's an intention there that causes consequences that you can't imagine. And if we are going to literally create a world where human beings will live for millennia and be a higher order type of being that's in peace with ourselves and our living things on this planet and the universe, we have to become much more ordered and much more harmonious with the God of the universe, who's not capable of evil. And that's going to require a very significant amount of, quote, repentance on our part, turning around and walking in the other direction and being brave and not afraid of death, not afraid of exposure, not afraid of persecution, or we're not going to deal with this.
I agree. In fact, the one big thing that I think that everybody, when they're listening, should remember is that once they do away with fear, all things are possible.
Absolutely.
And that's the key. So they just, even if they have it, they just get rid of the fear. And once they do that, they can come out and we can start creating, being the creators that we're supposed to be. Right now, everybody's so captivated by their own fears and everybody else's fears that it's cut them off from what they truly are and who they truly are. And it's unfortunate, but you know, maybe we can do some good, get some of this information out there, help people to remove these fears, and maybe we can take back the responsibilities that we've given away. So,
we unveil things like genetically modified food. When you put a gene from scorpions and tomatoes, it makes amino acids and organic acids that have never been seen in this world before that fry our brains and make psychotic killers. So if we don't want to expose the lie and to the light, then we're never going to have a peaceful world. We're going to have an explosion and literally hell on earth. And we need to face that reality if we're going to live in a world that has any peace whatsoever.
I'm with you.
Well, Don, what do you think about having Dr. Deagle on as a regular here? Would you fit into this?
I think that would be fantastic because really exposing a lot of this, at least bringing people's awareness of it to their consciousness so that they can make a choice. I choose not to have that as a part of my life. And because remember, thought precedes everything else. So if we can at least bring them aware of this, they can consciously be working to remove that sort of content from our evolutionary process or from our being, and they can through that. So we really need to connect, build this awareness, bring more people into the fold, and spread these messages as far and as wide as possible.
Right. What we're doing is bringing like a wings of protection over them, and not just intellectual or cognitive knowledge, but spirit knowledge. You have to understand the greatest and most informative thing is the philosopher's knowledge of the spirit. Because really, there's no such thing as a technical problem that our intellect and our ability, we're a multidimensional, non-local being, can solve. We can solve any problem. The problem is always, ultimately, a spiritual one. And if we can bring that protection to them so they don't fear because they know what they are, then they can come out of the woodwork and they can come out from these deep underground bases and their Aurora projects and their genetic manipulation and cyborg research and vaccine development to fry specific neuron pathways that they actually have these vaccines now. They're testing in DPS children in London that block enkephalin and endorphins that literally shut off their brains so that they become zombies. They're testing them right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff is real.
Voodooism in Africa.
Right. I mean, and it's just unbelievable.
Down there they use on people to put them in a catalytic state for a month or two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've heard about that. But they're actually got vaccines now that actually block specific receptor pathways so you can't get addicted to alcohol or cocaine or heroin.
That's
but you
really
become
good.
A zombie and you literally are no longer a functioning person anymore.
Yeah. Wow.
And they actually have 200 vaccines in the pipeline in Operation BioShield that they've spent many billions of dollars on, and they've also spread these bioweapons all over the place and upgraded to from class 2 to class 4 installations, university labs with no security all over the country. It's crazy. I mean, if people really knew what was going on a real cognitive, scientific level and on a spiritual darkness level, they'd say, oh, my God.
I know, unfortunately, most people are trying to get, you know, do an 8-to-5 job, have a little evening, and then make it to the pillow and start, you know, over and over again. And
Well, I don't try to say these
people, you know.
I don't want them to overwhelm them, but I need to be in a bit of a state of shock because when you come out of the state of shock and you realize, if you just do one little thing, investigate one thing that I said or you said, and Google it and say, you know, in my intellectual and in my spiritual worldview, it's expanded a bit. And if that worldview expands, then your spirit expands. And if the spirit expands, the ability of the power of intention expands of more of us. And I believe in this 100 monkey thing.
I do too.
If only 1% of the population said no more New World Order,
right,
tomorrow it would be over. There'd be no attack on Iran. There'd be no nuclear cloud heading from Bangladesh from Yemen to Ashurbanipal, India. There'd be no birth defects in around the world from depleted uranium. There'd be no, you know, possible thermonuclear holocaust occurring with Tel Aviv going up in flames and Ankara or London. Yeah. None of these things would happen. The intention of us determines our future. We have to realize we are the creators of our future. And we have to stop expecting an external intervention rather than the intervention of our intentions.
I agree. Totally. Well, what do you think about, Don? What do you think? Is there any, at this point, we could take callers if anybody's interested. I'm probably everybody's pretty saturated anyway from what they heard tonight. So.
Well, I do have a question. You know.
Let's take a caller from Don Newsom.
I was kind of curious as about the underground bases that we have on our satellite, and of course on Mars, and maybe what goes on there. And how long we've had them, and what sort of research and how involved that is. Maybe a little synopsis of all that, if you have.
Well, the first thing is we've run, and I'll just give you some of the technical details. We've run parallel shuttle missions from Vandenberg Air Force Base on the West Coast as well as on the East Coast from Cape Kennedy. And so what they've done is every time they've been shooting up a shuttle, they've also done one on the West Coast. And the 85% of all the military, of the operations of the space shuttle have been military. Not only putting up satellites, low Earth orbit satellites, but the other operations they've been doing there that they haven't disclosed, including all these fancy weaponization of space. So when they try to entrain the Canadians to say, yes, we want you to sign into missile defense, the fact is that they just want the Canadians not to complain if they shoot something down and the debris all falls over Canada, making it radioactive. And they want to pay trillions of dollars too, so that they kind of own the guilt if they actually use it while they set up a dialectic of a nuclear conflict. Now, what the underground base, there's a base on the moon, has been operational since the late 60s. And that base is primarily a research facility and a mining operation for helium-3, which is like the helium form of heavy water. And they use it for fusion nuclear reactors. Helium-3 generates many hundreds of thousands of times more power than regular conventional fuels. And there's quite a bit more of it on the moon than there is on Earth. So it makes a perfect operation. The other thing is that they've had a colony on Mars since the mid-80s. And we've been using our Aurora spacecraft, which have a number of fleets. In fact, I think it's a Mr. Is it McMillan, I think is the name. Is it Gary McMillan, I think it is? Who is the Scottish gentleman who managed to hack into the New Jersey databases of all the defense computers. And they basically said that he kind of wiped out some hard drives here. And so they tried to extradite him from Scotland to the United States. And, of course, one of the bits of information he released was that we had off-world fleets. Well, we have entire fleets of Aurora spacecraft that can fly between Earth and the Moon and Mars.
We'll do a show, by the way, technical details on that craft at some point.
Right, and you know, these have been around for a long time, and these all came out of the Skunk Works, Lockheed
which
Martin.
Which I worked at, which my credentials are posted on the radio website. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it all came out of things like going back to Nazi Germany research and very advanced stuff. I mean, the Germans at that time were decades ahead of everyone else. And the underground facilities are kind of tied with that because they have this huge matrix. There's over 4,000 underground facilities worldwide. In the Caucasus Mountains, the Russians have built two facilities that can carry a quarter million people each with underground nuclear reactors and hydroponics and everything that can stay down there for decades, like the time machine, the movie, you know, with the Morlocks, the underground. And literally they have this ready. I mean, there's one city near between Conifer and I-70 in Colorado that could house 16,800 people for 7 years minimum with food supplies, reactors, hydroponics, water purification systems, and everything. If there's a complete nuclear war in,
just to interrupt real quick, there was a Marriott facility in Washington, D.C. that I used to stay at, a Marriott hotel that they unearthed the bottom stories of it. It would shelter people for at least 7 years, and that was brought up in public news. You remember that? It was about 10 years ago.
They're all over the place.
I was at one, and I was staying there when I was in D.C. You know.
Yeah, well, there's entire cities like under Denver International Airport is an underground city. It's 100 square miles.
Yeah.
And under John Hopkins in Baltimore is a huge underground hospital complex.
Oh, yeah, there's so many smart people.
For all kinds of advanced experimentation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on many of these military hospitals, like the new hospital complex out in Aurora, Colorado, that was built on the military, former military base.
Yeah.
They built huge facilities underground. And they're connected directly over by tunnels to Buckley Air Force Base, the largest reserve base in America for C-130s. And by the way, the C-130s from Buckley and from Peterson Air Force Base go over with lots of tanks and medical supplies and food and come back loaded to the gunnels with dope.
Yeah.
D-O-P-E.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Dope,
yeah.
Because that's what they're using.
Yeah, there's a lot of C-130s in Afghanistan. Hello, heroin right up
right,
there.
And of course they're going over to make sure the poppy crop stays popping.
Yeah.
You know, the...
that's big money for Black Box Project.
Well, that's what they're doing. And the problem you see comes to me is right down to the reason why Congress and the Senate exist is to manage our money.
Yeah.
And if blackout money is coming and not being overseen by Congress and the Senate, that is considered what I call piracy and treason. And I don't understand why we don't unveil these facts that the, quote, war on drugs is specifically they make it illegal so that they can get more profit to plow more money into these weird projects, including cloning research, underground cyborg research, where they want to make cyborg androgenic soldiers with genes implanted from jackals to make them super athletes and put brain chips and interface them to supercomputers.
Yeah,
and people think, oh, no, they're not doing this. I'm sorry. And conventional doctors, I don't care if they're a neurologist or a neurosurgeon, if they haven't had the security clearances and they've been in the places or in contacts that I know, they won't know this at all. They won't even think this science exists.
Yeah.
But only about 5% of science is ever funded by the public, and 95% of science worldwide is completely classified.
Yeah.
And it's on a need-to-know compartmentalized basis. So if you're in one compartment of the military, industrial, scientific, and technical complex, you won't have the faintest clue what's going on in another part of that process.
We have an Alan online. We have an Alan online.
Yep, go ahead.
Put him through.
Dr. Bell and Dr. Daigle.
Yes, hi.
How you doing?
Wonderful. Go ahead with your question, Alan, see if I can answer it.
Oh, just what a great show. I was just listening, and I turned it down to get online here. But, yeah, great information tonight, and I hope you can become a part of BBS Radio here. It would be great to hear you again. It's been a real interesting show. I've been listening all evening, and I sure do, enjoy the information that's coming forth here.
We want to inspire people to not only get a change in their worldview, but we also want people to start trying to inspire those who are in a lot of these support areas to start waking up and realize that they need to seize the future and take their rightful role as rulers of this world instead of passive participants or observing like they're watching a big screen. And if they don't, the future is pretty horrific.
Yes. You and Dr. Bell are both kind of one of a kind there. Both have the same basic views on what's going on here. And, like I said, I really do appreciate it. And
yeah, we have our battle scars for doing it too, because
yeah, we do.
The persecution and the disdain by not only our colleagues but those who don't want us to speak and the threats are unbelievable.
Yeah. But like you say, if we don't come forward and speak these truths, then things won't happen.
But guess
the
way
it should.
I'm still breathing and I'm still talking, and
yeah.
I'm bulletproof now until the appointed moment.
Yeah, me too.
And I want to tell
doing this back in 1973 when I left the government. I guess
right.
I was one of the first, but I'm
and,
still here. And
well,
I
the reason why you're still here, Fred,
obviously.
I'm certain, is because
yeah.
You're intelligent, you're fearless, and you're going to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And because you communicated to people, they can't take you up because otherwise they could just dismiss you as a wacko.
Yeah.
But if you're telling the truth and they kill you, oh my gosh, you'll have millions believe you.
Yeah.
You know, the nice energy about us both talking about this from completely different careers, confirming the same facts, is they have to say, we didn't compare notes, I don't even have your book.
Yeah, I know, I sent the
and
book
so,
up and it's still hung up in customs.
Yeah, we're at the customs in Montreal.
Yeah.
But the fact is that it corroborates because we're both coming with the same intention spiritually, and we've come from divergent things because this is appointed to give this information to people to wake them up. And that's what leads into my next comment, which is this date 2012, which is Mayan calendar. And I want to say what we're really coming toward is what I call the nexus. And it's where the power of darkness, which is confusion and babble, and the powers of light, which is spiritual intention of positiveness, comes together to create a cosmic question of, will you become what you are, which is the gods of this world? And if you don't, then you will not live centuries or millennia, and you will not live in a world of peace. You'll live in a hell where you have a brain chip and your DNA is damaged and you become a faint shadow of what you should have been. And what we're really facing in the Mayan calendar is the binding together of the dark powers fit for destruction if we're willing to stand up and speak out the truth and be brave enough to actually stop this movement quickly toward a matrix where everyone gets a chip and everybody's irradiated and everybody gets frankenfoods and aspartame so they can get brain entrainment and the ELF frequencies to destroy them and control them. And if they don't stand up, well, then we will hope that the 1% or 2% necessary to make the American Revolution does stand up. And the battle is definitely going to heat up because there's going to be a nuclear war shortly. The avian flu is coming. It's not slowing down and taking days off.
Not at all.
And we're moving very quickly toward the technological capacity for the Fourth Reich to completely enslave every living thing on the planet.
I wanted to tell Dr. Bell that I'm wearing his nuclear receptor, and I just finished reading his Praise and Truth book.
Well, I appreciate that, and keep up the good work. And sooner or later, Dr. Deagle will get one of my books.
I'm sure I'll have it probably by, it'll probably show up Monday, but for next, are we doing a show next week?
Yeah. Don, should we do another show together? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll do another one.
I'm in for that. Too.
Yeah, we just got into the
demand. Hell yeah, we'll do another one.
Yeah, we got into the tippy top of some of the topics.
Well, yeah, tonight, by the way, we found the details. We're skimming.
We're skimming the
we're
top.
We're 1% of the surface of what we can go into. Believe me, we haven't even warmed up yet.
Right.
Yeah, you guys are keeping me listening. That's for sure. I'm going to get off here and
well,
get
really
back on the internet here where I can listen.
Support because it's people like you that make us. Give us, you know, direction and encourage us to keep moving forward.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely encouraging
our positive intentions spiritually, because if we don't intend toward other spirit beings and other humans here in this plane of existence and in the past and future, then we will not become what we are, which is rulers. And it's not to be arrogant or whatever, but the problem is our destiny is to, for our spirit being to fuse with the being of the I Am who is God. So that we are literally the children of God, and that's why the powers of darkness have got such a great determination to stop us and destroy us. And we're reaching that time where we're either going to proceed forth and become what we are supposed to be, or we will cease to be a civilization.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, my big concern is I'd like to go surfing and I'd like to play a little music. But I realize if I go surfing and play music right now, there won't be a world to do that in very long. So I have to put my true design in life aside and work with Dr. Deagle and Don and BBS Radio and people like you out there and get the truth across so you guys can give us a week off so we can go surfing and play some music. But right now, I don't see that in the cards, you know.
Yeah. Well, we need a recharge, but the fact is I think the time is very short.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Deagle, for recharging. That's my new terminology. I need to recharge, but I don't have time for it right now.
Well, thank you both very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Good night.
Night. All right, is there a Newsom around there? Is there a Big Don around?
Absolutely. And you know, I had one more question.
Yeah, I got to show down here.
You want to take that call, or?
Yeah, we'll take any more calls.
Okay.
4 hours later.
You got it.
Yeah. Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, I was waiting to see if there was another call.
I heard a phone ring, but I don't hear anybody there.
Yeah.
Could be the NSA just wanting to make sure they get a good connection.
Oh, yeah, here's somebody. Here's a girl.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, girl.
This is Cindy from Normal. Illinois. I'm calling, this has been a fascinating presentation here. 3 to 4 years ago, I heard a presentation by a fellow who had 3 degrees by 18. He had been in an advanced military program, and he told some amazing things. This kind of matches up with what I'm hearing from you, too, and I don't imagine you even know him, probably. He said there was a base on the back of the moon, that there were about, at that time, 53 or so, give or take a few people working, that there were several bases. We had one, I think China might have had one, and there was at least one ET base. I may have the nationalities wrong, but there were a few bases on the back of the moon, and they just didn't mess with each other. He said he was in charge of something like 7 buildings. Two of them were reverse UFO stuff. A couple were having to do with biologicals like chemtrail weaponry. Very interesting stuff. Alarming, of course, but it's really nice to hear, you know, your point of view and that it matches up. So, I mean, this really is something to be concerned about and to do something about. So thank you so much for having this on today.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I hope what it does is it inspires people to realize we're not doing this as a sci-fi entertainment. We're literally living in something that goes beyond Star Wars or any of the programs that they see on these movie theaters. But the intention of these globalists and the people beyond the globalists, which are making deals literally in a sense with the devil, is that they intend to do very, very bad things to the race of mankind on Earth and all living things. And we can stop that if we come together and expose all these things as being real and not just an imaginary kind of like, oh, look at this, it's so bizarre, there's no way this could be true. But it is.
Another thing, as I've been doing some experimentation with all kinds of electrical and magnetic and frequency equipment, like Royal Raymond Rice type equipment and Hulda Clark zappers and Bob Beck blood electrifiers, and I know that this stuff works.
Of course it does.
Different things do different things better. You know, but it's amazing stuff.
Right. Well, of course it works. And the reason is they know it works. And the fact is they've actually traded technology with these, I like to refer to them as things, or creatures. You know, we have technology that's thousands of years ahead of what people even think exists. And as a result, it literally is giving what I call spiritual microbes technology of gods. And doing that is not really a wise thing to do. You know, imagine somebody like George Bush Sr., who's on Prozac and a former heroin addict, maybe a current one, who knows, you know, managing these deep projects and the inveterate evil that's behind it. You know, it doesn't matter what religious or other group you belong to, the intention towards, you know, every living thing, including whales and every creature on Earth and every biosystem is just continually evil. And we can stop it if we expose it. And we just say, you know, right now, perhaps, by talking about things like the fact they can see scintillating material from space, and if a bomb goes off, it goes off because they intended to go off, like 9/11 or Oklahoma City. And we've delayed that by just exposing it, and they say, ooh, we've taken the spiritual negative energy power out by exposing it to them, so they really, you know, they can't go ahead and blow up Chicago or some other city core and burn thousands of people and kill 500,000 people. By exposing these things, we literally come against the, you know, you don't go against fire with a flamethrower, you go against it with water, with the truth. And that's what we're trying to do, is come together against the fire of this evil with truth.
I know of 2 websites that are really good about exposing what's going on and potentially stopping some things because of the advertisement of what they think is going on. Have you looked at the Cloak and Dagger page?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, many of these sites have got lots of information. A lot of people that look at them and they think it's just entertainment by people who have got very outlandish imaginations. A lot of the stuff that I know, I wish I didn't know. And I actually only tell people kind of like the tip-top surface, because if I get too deep, and we may get there someday.
We'll get there.
Fred,
yeah.
Is that some of the stuff is so horrendous that a lot of people would despair and become very, very, how can I say it, very overwhelmed if they knew what I really knew is the total depth of it. It's pretty nasty.
And I second that because I have been deep inside the military, deep inside the government since I was like 16 years old up until I was about 30-something. And Dr. Deagle has been on there beyond, and still I go back occasionally. And we just can't talk about it because it would kind of blow our credibility as to what we're talking about now if we told you what was really going on. This is
the tip of the iceberg,
and I'm not kidding.
Yeah, if we went to the full extent of it, they would say, no, you people need to be on a locked ward. There's no way that this really is happening.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it is, you know. And that, in fact, is almost the protection they have because it's so far beyond the pale.
Yeah.
That the normal mind, what we call the menial mind of compartmentalized modern man that lives on the surface of the earth, has no conception what goes on under the earth, above the earth, or in any other transdimensional plane that they can't conceive of.
Yeah. And I've been there, and he has, too. That's what brought us together. I mean, there are certain things that Dr. Deagle told me that I knew made him real because I've been there, done that, and vice versa.
Right.
And other people that I bring on my show and talk to don't have a clue. He knows.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a great burden, but the thing is we're called as witnesses. We're actually, if you want to call it, a spiritual witness against evil.
That's great. One other site that I think is wonderful for overall news is the Jeff Rentz website.
Yeah, Jeff Rentz is right on. And I like the comment that was made by Condoleezza Rice, the consummate liar in the White House.
George Bush's girlfriend.
Yeah, right. Consummate liar, saying that, of course, they didn't know that they were going to have trails into the Twin Towers when I sat March 1 with the FBI and the Center for Disease Control director personally with Dr. Jay Reddington at the Adams Mark Hotel March 1, 2001, 6.5 months before 9/11, and they talked about drills going into the buildings with jet airplanes. But Condoleezza Rice's comment about Jeff Rentz was that he is the greatest source of disinformation in America. And I thought, right on, Jeff Rentz.
And Jeff Rentz turned that around and said, was advertising that, you know, that he was the number one disinformation site. Like, this is a great thing.
Well, you know, if you're getting those kind of kudos, you know you must be making inroads and making the globalists and these above government henchmen of the dark side nervous. You know, the lords of the Sith.
Yeah, I've got a couple of friends of mine that know Condoleezza Rice very well. She's a master deceptionist. She's absolutely brilliant. That's why Bush loves her so much. The Bush family loves her so much. She's brilliant. She's the greatest, with grace and dignity and glamour, disinformational person on this planet, as they see her, you know.
Smoother than Madeleine Albright.
Yeah, there you go.
I call her Madeleine All Darkness.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, I'll get off the phone to let somebody else call in.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, thanks.
Well, we need to get some paparazzi after Condoleezza so we can get some good shots of her.
Well, you know, I haven't told Dr. Deagle we're going to start a television production company here very soon. And I haven't told Dr. Deagle that you're going down to Aruba with some of our psychics. We got some amazing psychics here at CBS Radio. And we got a lot of departments, you know, a lot of different divisions that we're trying to form. And, ours is the intelligence leading edge thing. There's the psychics, there's different ones, the healers and the channels and all of that. But, I think that, this is going to be some fun.
Well, everybody, I know this about you as well. Everybody who is spiritually at the level where we are has to also be intuitive. There's no possible
exactly,
way.
Exactly. Thank you.
Because if you're not at that spiritual level, you cannot possibly understand these things on an intellectual level either because your worldview will not allow it.
No, that's true. I agree. So we're kind of multitasking here.
Well, yeah, if you're not a multidimensional being and you have senses that go beyond the regular, then... You know, I know they use the word psychic, but I think it's just the nature of what we are, and some of us are at different stages of that. There's 7 levels of consciousness, and the highest is direct level knowledge, moment to moment, of you want to call it the mind of God, I know you're there, and I know I'm there.
Yeah.
And if you are, then your intentions are therefore only good because you have his will and not yours.
Exactly. My will, it just takes me into misery and self-destruction.
Right, it always does. And that's what nature...
It's ridiculous.
That's the point of in fact, living is to understand that the only way we can be happy is to make others.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
To make other living things happy and make a world of peace and non-pollution and non-destruction and have a future for other sentient beings that want to become our descendants, for them to pass through this realm and for them to grow spiritually. And that's the only way we can truly grow, is to have that intention for the future.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, Don, shall we wrap this show up for the evening? This has been a long time. Dr. Deagle is 4 hours later than we are. He's a night owl, but now he's going to be seeing the sun come up here pretty soon. Especially as far north as you are.
Yeah.
What time is the sun up there now?
I think it's coming up, I think, around about 7:30 in
okay.
the morning.
Dr. Bell, Dr. Deagle.
Yes.
How are you tonight?
Wonderful.
Fantastic show you guys are putting on. I just wanted to know, Dr. Deagle, what your take is on this SERPO project, the alleged alien exchange program.
Yeah, you're referring to where a number of people, like you're talking about DIMECOR with the 210,000 Eastern European women and children that disappeared?
At
the Red Cross, we're witnessing and all that stuff?
The alleged alien exchange program where supposedly 12 military people were sent to the Zeta Reticulan planet in exchange.
Well, that was a long time ago, an earlier project, yeah.
Do you know about that?
I know about it. Do you know about that one, Deagle?
I know about all kinds of things, maybe not specific details.
Well,
that
was back. That was back about 1970 something, when before the uprising. Remember the uprising in 79 at Dulce, where they had a little shootout down there and underneath.
Yeah, they had a big war down there.
Yeah, it was before
yeah.
that, and
right.
that was an exchange program where a group of American scientists were taken over to Theta Reticuli. 35 light years and showing a bunch of stuff and then brought back. Yeah. What was your question about that?
I just wondered if he had any information on the validity of that and any details about it.
Well, what you should realize is that, just to kind of get into a bigger
yeah.
topic, is that we live in a galactic civilization. Now, just think of it. And this is what Carl Sagan said, too, and, of course, the people that believe in SETI. The fact is, they don't want the people to know that we already know that there's other civilizations out there. By far, most of them far more advanced than us. And we're literally on going from infancy into childhood in terms of a civilization, and we're at that point where there's a great deal of interest in this because we could either become a proper full member or we could become literally a disease in the galaxy. Because we're advancing and literally our technical advancement is literally almost vertical right now with artificial intelligence, supercomputers, and trading technology with advanced civilizations. We could become very, very deadly. And that's what's going on right now, is that our civilization has done some very nasty things. Like, you know, when DIMECOR does this deal with 210,000 women and children disappear, they're not just disappearing on pleasure cruisers and for sex slaves on boats off of Africa for the rich and famous, or ending up in brothels or in harems in Saudi Arabia. They're ending up in underground laboratories for experimentation and off-world facilities for doing God knows what. And
we
used to
say 30% of people on milk cartons were in that program.
Right. And
yeah.
people need to realize the vast numbers of American children that are not just runaways. They're abductees, and they're actually physically transported from American military facilities to be taken to places that you can't even imagine what's being done to these children and women.
Amazing the horrific things that are taking place.
Right, and there's also good out there. There's also not just the evil, there's also those that are good. I mean, it says it right even in the Bible that a third of they're talking about shepherds, the angels, fell away, but two-thirds didn't. It means that there's a lot of civilizations out there that don't necessarily have evil intentions against us, but there's probably cosmic laws in terms of interference and interventions, and we're at the point right now where, especially with things like George Bush's plan to attack Iran, this could very easily trigger off a Chinese attack on Taiwan. It could trigger off a thermonuclear exchange. We have the avian flu coming possibly this year. We're at the end of civilization as we know it. And of course, I'm certain that there are sentient cognitive beings that are observing at close range and at a distance that know that, that we would call, if you want to call it angels or archangels or whatever. The problem is people don't, they want to spiritualize it, so they don't want to realize that these beings are real. Just like the Bible would say that in one night, one angel destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. You have to realize this is a physical thing. It's not just a spiritual thing that he gave them a bad idea or a nightmare and they all had a heart attack. It's a real being with real capacities. And just like it talks about in Genesis 6 that the, you know, that the Nephilim came down and took women and they formed these hybrid supermen who literally ruled as the ancient rulers of the world in ancient Sumer and Babylon and so on. The fact is that this
Which
has been known
Iraq,
down through all
the way.
The,
Iraq, you know,
yeah, and all of these
Iraq,
things are very real. I mean, they're not imaginary. But the problem is people are very selective in what they accept they want to believe, whether it's in the Bible or the Upanishads or the Epic of Gilgamesh or the, you know, the Book of Enoch or whatever documents they want from whatever civilization. They all reflect the fact that our world is not isolated in the universe. And
well, as it says, speak the truth and it shall be shown to you.
Right, but the people don't want to. And that's the problem with what I call conventional religion. I call it strychnine religion because I believe in relationship with a living God, not a religion. Now, I happen to be a quote, Torah believer, but like the Torah believer, like Moses or Moshe, not one where, that believes in these what I call traditions, where you have to have mediation by someone who mediates between us. You don't need to mediate because what Emmanuel was trying to say is that you shall be as me. And his title was God with us. And if you really understand what he was trying to teach, he was trying to teach them that when they go through this process, they themselves will have responsibility and authority to heal, to change their world, and to become literally the creators or co-creators of what their future is. And that responsibility is what people are trying to shirk. They
right,
want
you
an
have
external.
To take it. It's coming whether you want it or not.
Right, they want to shirk it, and they want to say, no, you can let the kids drink aspartame and fry their brains. You
oh,
can
yeah.
breathe depleted uranium, even though every American citizen is now breathing four times the EPA maximum uranium particles.
Exactly.
Now, we're not going to go and fight the politicians who want to start a nuclear war in Iran, even though they're going to salt the area with depleted uranium and make Islam eventually attack America and nuke every U.S. city. You know, the consequences to us being silent is our ultimate destruction. So we need to stop pretending that by shutting up or selling out that we're okay. In fact, it seals our own faith.
Right, right. Dr. Deagle, what's your best advice on preparation on a mental, physical, and emotional level as we approach the year 2012?
Well, the first thing I think is people need to spiritually get straightened away. They have to understand that there is, that God is a good God, he's not capable of evil, and that the evil exists because it's the absence of light. And the light, we are the ones that bring the light, not the false light bearers, but we are the bearers of light. And we have to, once we get our intentions correct and what happens is we're not fearful of death, then we can start living, we can start saying, okay, hey, yeah, they can nuke the city, but hey, I can prepare to survive it. And if I don't, well, I'll just walk into the next realm. And if you don't fear death, then you can start saying, you know, I'll start preparing. I'm going to have food. I'm going to have water. I'm going to have natural nutraceuticals to protect me. I'm going to have things that, you know, I can survive if there's an avian flu pandemic. I'm going to have things that can treat burns. I'm going to help my fellow man if something happens, even if it's horrendous. And you gird up your spirit and say, you know, I'm not going to let fear overcome me no matter what comes. I'm going to overcome it because I'm not fearful of the death or consequences because I'm just going to do what I can do in whatever circumstances I'm in. And if you do that, then you get control of it. You don't let fear overwhelm you because a lot of the people aren't preparing now.
That's wonderful advice. You guys are wonderful. Thanks for the show tonight. Look forward to hearing you again. Good night.
I have.
Yeah, Don, are you there? Anybody there?
I'm here.
Okay. I don't know if my phone cut off or not. Dr. Deagle, are you, can you hear me? Did Dr. Deagle get cut off?
He may have lost, yeah, his line might have cut off. I'm not sure.
Yeah, look at that.
Okay, we have a caller online.
Dr. Deagle back on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
No, Dr. Deagle's not back on. You want me to?
Yeah, get him back on.
Okay.
Caller.
Okay, caller, we're going to have to drop you.
Drop me?
So have him just get the Deagle back on.
But ask your question real quick, and then I'll drop you.
Okay, my question is, I got on late, so my question is there a place within the U.S. that is safer or considered safer havens than other places based on all these changes that are going on?
Okay, before he answers that, I'm going to drop you. He'll answer it while I'm getting Dr. Deagle.
Especially Denver. Okay,
Arkansas,
I'll let you go.
The Tibetans have long considered Arkansas a very safe haven. If you look at where it's located geographically, it doesn't get hurricanes, doesn't get tornadoes, doesn't get earthquakes. The Tibetans call it Little Tibet. So Arkansas is one of the safer areas that I think you could live in. And another area is where Don's moved to is up there in Paradise, California, which is on the Nevada line. That seems to be another center that's pretty stable in energy. There's a bunch of them around, but if you keep your karma and your energy flowing right, you'll always be in the right place at the right time anyway.
Another makeup mess. I'm not.
Are we back on? Hello?
Yes, you're both on the air.
Okay. Yeah. What happened, Dr. Deagle? Did you drop out there for a second?
Yeah, I was. I guess what happened is I must have got into an area that would empower people, so they wanted to cut me off.
Yeah, you might explain to them that both our lines have been heavily tapped by NSA. And
oh yeah, yeah. I've had computer experts prove to me that every one of my emails, phone conversations, everything goes through Langley, Virginia.
Yeah, so
and I hope they're listening.
Actually, mine has for years.
Yeah, and if they hope they're listening, if they do, they'll have to realize that if they're a sellout, that it's not the best thing, because those who have sold out are actually on the first of the menu, not the end.
Yeah.
They're hors d'oeuvres, if you want to call
it. I think it's so funny because my handler out of Langley doesn't talk to me much anymore because I so acknowledged what was going on, you know.
I'm hoping, you see, because our intention isn't to do anything wrong.
Yeah.
We're constitutional restorationists. We want to save humanity from destruction. We're not interested in any personal agendas. The issue is we've got to stop this race, or we're going to have complete annihilation. And the time is very, very short.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, they've been taping me for months and months.
I guess what we go in, what, with 64 countries? That we go to, and then Don gets the readout on all the military bases, and it's amazing. We're doing a great job. That's
right.
Once
you get the truth out to these countries, and a lot of them, you sort of, that's why they want to bring down the internet system, because
totally. I think it's because of BBS radio.
Right. One of many reasons why they dislike the internet, although it's going to become virtually impossible, because even if they brought down the regular internet, I'm certain that we could encrypt it on the cyberspace cloud, if you want to call it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's totally true, and it's pretty much private industry. Like, I'm sure Rupert Murdoch wouldn't mind launching some satellites. Even Donald Trump would probably get into the action, you know.
Yeah, right.
A bunch of private enterprise to get a bunch of private satellites up there real quick.
Right.
They really would. That's big money. I mean, look at eBay, what they make. That alone would motivate a whole series of satellite launching.
Well, information and commerce, I think the high-speed networks, whether it's satellite or ground-based, are taking over anyway.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Well, that's good. I hope that it inspires people tonight and they can think about these issues and pray on them and start kind of getting some positive thoughts about what the future has in store, but not pretending that this is just a form of kind of very bizarre entertainment, but it's real.
No, it's real. That's what I do.
Well, one thing people should know is that they're not alone in this. And what I mean by that is we do have a lot of help, and that's not just help from our human counterparts, that's our help from our spiritual and those that are what they like to call space visitors. I've seen them, and I've heard them. They've been in my presence, and it's been very, I can't quite describe it. It's strange is the only word. But the one thing that I know from what I've experienced, the limited amount that I've experienced and what I understand, is that we're having help, and it's help in an extreme way. And everybody out there who asks for that help and chooses to open up, if they can remove the fear, and then they can be a part of this in a very strong, healthy way. And together we can make the changes, and we're not alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Dr. Deagle brought that up the very early part of the program. A very minority percent of, you know, health, good things, truth, concentrated in a focus, a very minority, can absolutely overwhelm this huge plethora of negative, you know,
I agree, and what shocks me is that, you know, we really are the majority, and the minority is a small faction of people that have this, of course, all the money, but the power. But, you know, if people just got up and realized that we could all work as one, so quickly, in the blink of an eye, things can change. And
these happen really quickly now, though. We don't have a lot of breathing space left for people to wake up. It's almost like they have to wake up, and we have to plant the seeds and harvest at the same time.
I agree. Yes. I totally agree. So, Don, shall we, Dr. Deagle, it's very late where he is.
Yeah, I really appreciate tonight's program. I hope that we can...
Yeah, we got to save some more for later, you know.
Oh, we have lots.
Yeah.
Well, one day, you know, and I'm so glad that you're a part of this, because there's a lot of strange things that occur. You got a lot of strange things that occur and a lot of questions I have about some of the things that have happened to me and some of the experiences and some questions that I have that I'm sure the listening audience would love to know the answers to, and I think you could help bring that out. But most importantly, I want really to work with you and you to work with us to, again, inform the public, and I'm going to do that the best I can for as long as I can. And I just want to say I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a part of this. I hope you do a regular radio program with us, and you know, bring others like yourself that wish to bring, you know, some of the truth out to the people, and maybe we can make a real big difference here in a very short period of time.
Yeah, we want to be a haven for people that need to come out with the truth. I appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, and say God bless everyone that they start thinking about these things and praying on it.
Yeah, and we'll get back. We'll have you on. You know, we'll talk during the week. We'll get you a show here if you want. Well, you and I could do stuff together, because I think we need to do that forever. And then we both, of course, do our own shows. And then I just think it's exciting to finally have another crazy commodity, you know, friend, you know, compadre from the depths of hell that I came from through the U.S. government since I was 14 years old, and I'm 62 now. I spent a lot of time there, you know.
Right. Well, I've had a lot of this stuff inside for many years, and in fact, there's no power in that. The only power is to bring it out into the light.
Yeah, exactly. And I've spent the last 20 years doing that, you know.
Well, thank you very much, Fred, and thank you very much. I really appreciate it, the opportunity.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to work with you, and we'll be running this archive for the listeners. If you wish to tell your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers about this particular video or audio event.
Yeah, shortly what I'll be doing, too, is launching my other website called Clay and Iron.
Yeah, well, we'll
a lot more in the next probably month.
Yeah, well,
there'll be a lot more of the what I call a technical spiritual side of the things that you'll see on Nutramedical.
Wonderful.
Because that, as you said, in a sense, is my ministry, is to kind of get people to spiritually wake up as well as understand the technical side, like the biochemistry of aspartame and the genetically modified foods. But they have to understand the spiritual side, because if they don't, they won't make any sense of this.
Yeah, no, we'll do that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That, I mean, we could spend a whole show. We could spend a whole hour on aspartame.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I want to do. I want to break this down. This is like an overview. This is like a jet flying high with a bunch of banners flying out the back. Now let's take each banner and break it apart.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Many shows.
Yeah. So
well,
we can do that.
Take care and good night, and I appreciate everything.
God bless.
Take care.
Bye.
Read the most astounding book of our generation, Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light by Dr. Fred Bell. Bring energy and healing technologies into your life that have been kept secret for centuries, exposed or highly classified research projects in use today at NASA and Area 51. The book is at Dr. Bell's website, www.pyradyne.com. You'll also see more information about Dr. Bell's nuclear receptors, which allow our bodies to process all forms of electromagnetic and chemical toxins, assuring longer, healthier life. Call 1-800-729-2603 today.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.